Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's doing well. We have so much to cover today. We got a couple of really big guests. We'll have Patrick Byrne in studio with us next hour, and then we'll be joined by James Fishback, who is running for governor of Florida and giving Byron Donalds a run for his money. Byron Donalds, I'm going to get that right this time. Did a whole segment calling him Brian Daniels last week. And I swear this is a Mandela effect sort of thing. I would have sworn his name was Daniels. Byron Donalds is getting blown out of the water by James Fishback, despite having every positive attribute you could ask for in a Republican candidate. He's got support from all sides. He's got, you know, a long track record, nationally recognizable name. So why is he losing to James Fishback? We'll talk to him about that in the third hour. But we'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 9th of December, 2025. Trump orders Zelensky to surrender. On Monday, President Donald Trump ordered Ukraine's dictator, Volodymyr Zelensky, to accept a peace proposal, which has been on the table for the last couple weeks. The president also directed the dictator to hold elections, as Zelensky has been ruling unelected since 2024. Trump made these statements to Dasha Burns of Politico during an interview on Monday, the transcript of which was published this morning, and we'll go over some clips from that a little bit later. But yeah, they're really turning up the heat under Zelensky. Russia just captured another big Ukrainian city. They're still on the march and continuing to rack up wins. And Zelensky continues to cling on with his fingernails to power as all of his corrupt cronies flee the country with their ill-gotten gains. It's going exactly as we expected it would. Meanwhile, Crockett announces Senate bid with a bizarre campaign ad featuring Trump mocking her as low IQ. And I'll tell you, folks, it's not going well. It's not going well for Representative Jasmine Crockett in any way. She announces her bid with this ad that's just a picture of her and then the audio of Trump just calling her stupid a bunch. Okay, great. Well done. Then they have this event where she's giving speeches and they have a rapper come up and he's rapping at a podium. The whole thing is very off-putting. So we're looking very much forward to her run for Senate here in Texas. She's running to be a senator. We'll get back into that a little bit later. Meanwhile, follow up on a story we covered yesterday. Internet raises $100,000 for a Wisconsin woman fired by Cinnabon after N-word-laced outburst at a Somali couple. A former Cinnabon employee fired over a viral verbal altercation with a Somali couple was showered with support from internet users who donated over $100,000. Now, interestingly, a Cinnabon franchise costs about $120,000. So she could very well go on to own the Cinnabon after this, which, again, is exactly the right response. See, people film these. At first, they inspire the outburst by abusing service workers or stressed out mothers. Then they film them, get their reaction on film, and then they want to destroy their lives. And what's happening instead is that these people are becoming millionaires, or at least becoming extremely wealthy. It's backfiring completely, which is exactly what should happen. And absolutely nobody in America has the right to say anything about this when you have Carmelo Anthony, who received $500,000 when it was never even, you know, questioned whether or not. I mean, he stabbed Austin Metcalf in the chest and killed him, and they gave him $500,000. So while black people are doing that, everybody else can shut the hell up about the white woman who used the no-no word. Meanwhile, millions of children and teens lose access to accounts as Australia's world's first social media ban begins. You know, we'll get into Australia a little bit today, too. But, yeah, millions of children have lost access to social media. Now, they claim, obviously, this is about, I don't know, something positive. But it has a lot more to do with the fact that young people are harder to program if you don't have a monopoly on the information they consume. That's what it's all about. Finally, New York judge unseals Ghislaine Maxwell grand jury docs to comply with Epstein Files Transparency Act. I'm sure we're learning a lot from this. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by thealexjonesstore.com. I'll tell you about the sale on the other side. Stay with us. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. A lot of stuff we have to cover today about all sorts of crazy things. I mean, it really runs the gamut. And it was funny. I was thinking about this yesterday. I was talking to my wife, and we really did have this kind of conversation. I tweeted this out yesterday. It wasn't exactly like this, but, you know, we're sitting in the kitchen tonight, and she's talking about some drama with her friends, you know, oh, this person said this and this person. I said, yeah, you know, my friends are kind of in drama too. My friends Ian and Nick are beefing over, you know, Israel's participation or not in the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And it's like, it is very funny to me because I am friends, at least friendly with both Ian Carroll and, Nick Fuentes, but they're beefing right now over Charlie Kirk. And as I've explained many times, my wife doesn't pay attention to all of this nonsense. She has more important things to worry about. You know, children, stuff like that. Yeah, I said, you know, my wife is like, my friends Jennifer and Megan had a falling out over the bridesmaid dress. And I'm like, yeah, my friends Ian and Nick are beefing over the role of world jewelry in the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Just bring it down to that human level. And that really is how it feels. It's always this way with friends, isn't it? I don't know if anybody else is like this. I always got two friends that are at each other's throats, and I'm the one that sees it from both of their perspectives. I'm like, you guys basically agree. What are we fighting for? What are we fighting about here? But as I'm explaining this to my wife, it's like, I can't just start to explain it. It's like, I gotta go way back to the beginning. Cause if you don't follow the drama, if you don't follow this stuff on a regular basis, you don't know what the hell I'm talking about. And I was thinking, and maybe I should just do this for the show. Maybe that's what America needs. Maybe that can be the role I serve. Because when you really, and everybody gets all out of whack about this because people are motivated by one thing and then other people read into their motivation something else and start spreading that narrative and it all becomes confused. When you actually are watching it from a bird's eye view perspective, it's not actually all that complicated. And I sort of see it from both these guys' sides, but it's an interest, it's not helpful. It's not helpful to be beefing like this for all of us constantly to be at each other's throats. It's just, again, not beneficial to the movement overall, which as, you know, varied as they are, I would say Ian and Nick are both on the same side here, along with myself, Alex Jones, and everybody at InfoWars. We're all just trying to rescue humanity from the enslavement of the New World Order. So, I don't know. I'm not going to waste time doing it right now, but the division, it's kind of confusing. I don't think the division is necessarily being created by outside forces, but it's obviously being fostered and sort of perpetuated and encouraged by outside forces. And again, we just have to recognize that division is clearly the play they're running right now. Not trying to bring people over to their side, but rather just disrupt the forces of their enemy, the good guys, us. So we're not going to play into any of that. And we're going to recognize that we need everybody at the top of their game and working together in a coordinated way. But the reason why I think it's interesting, you know, what's happening with Ian and Nick is that, you know, Ian's kind of new to the game, and Nick has been in the mix for a decade and more at this point. I guess a decade, 2015, around that time. And as we've been, you know, watching the rise of Nick Fuentes, it's been very impressive. And I think that Ian Carroll is right when he says that what's happening with the Charlie Kirk assassination and the investigation into that would be of interest to Nick Fuentes. So basically what happened is Ian made a video basically questioning Nick Fuentes and saying, why aren't you coming along with us as we investigate and uncover all of this shady activity around TPUSA and Israel in particular? And Nick's response to that basically was like, there's no proof. Basically, his overriding concern is that we have gained credibility. We, this movement, whatever this is, have gained credibility by exposing factually truthful and really sort of undeniable things. And that you risk that credibility by talking about stuff that doesn't have hardcore proof evidence. If it's just speculation, it's not only not valuable, it's sort of damaging to that whole movement. Whereas what Ian is saying is, Nick, you should be in on this, because Nick's whole thing is it's not just about Israel, the foreign state, because it's easy to say, oh, if you're just criticizing a foreign state as a foreign state, then that's fine. But saying it also has to do with the Jewish diaspora here, World Jewry, as he puts it, the World Jewish Congress, all this stuff, saying it's not just about the nation state of Israel. That's sort of a containment mechanism. Okay, you can talk about that. It's the Overton window. Right. Okay. You can talk about this, but only if it's in the terms of Israel as a foreign state, or you can talk about this, but only in terms of, you know, whatever religious differences rather than ethnic and cultural. And so what they're discovering as they look into TPUSA appears to be not strictly, you know, associated with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, but rather the infiltration of TPUSA by Zionist entities, especially in their TPUSA faith division, which corresponds with and goes along with what's happening with the 1,000 church leaders who are now in Israel being indoctrinated into serving them. So it really is a big story about this. And it's frustrating, these two, like, I don't know, personalities are at odds, when really, I do think it would be a lot of points of agreement if they sat down and talked. But obviously, Nick is, I mean, generational run, I guess, is the label for it. But it's like unbelievable. And maybe it's just it's not just the people I hang out with. I mean, I hang out with right-wing people generally. So, you know, Nick Fuentes is going to be a topic of conversation. But, like, it's everybody. Everybody's talking about Nick Fuentes. And yesterday, it was like a parody. Again, maybe it's because of my feed and who I follow. But I swear, at around, like, 8 o'clock last night, every single post on my timeline was a clip from Piers Morgan and Tucker and Nick Fuentes' interview or Nick Fuentes' follow-up, you know, show afterwards. Every single post was about this. It was like, it's like too much. It's a phenomenon. It's insane how successful he's being at breaking through to the mainstream. And it's like they cannot figure out how to deal with this guy. They really can't. And it's almost like you're watching people who don't speak the same language try to communicate. Like, it just goes right past people what he's actually saying. And they're stuck in this weird mindset. And, you know, Piers Morgan, for all of his sliminess, for all of his snake-like attributes, he's really good at what he does. He's like one of the best at appearing neutral or at, you know, playing this sort of school marm, you know, English professor type that can speak down on somebody and get them to, you know, admit that what they are doing is wrong. Like, he's really, really, really good at that. It's just, it doesn't work with somebody like Nick. It just doesn't work. He just doesn't fall for it. And he went into it with a plan that worked out. And it's like, what are they even going to do next? Like, they're going to have to try to kill him. They're deploying everything and nothing works. And it's like, they just keep thinking that, okay, we'll do it. All right, have him go on this show. And it's funny because it's always the same tactic. and it never works. I want to do a skit about this or something. It's funny. I just remembered this. Last night I was laying in bed thinking, I should do a skit of like, you know, whatever, the World Jewish Congress or whatever it is, being like, I know what'll stop Nick. We'll bring him on a really big podcast, a mainstream one. He won't be able to resist. It'll be so big, he'll have to say yes. And then I know we'll show clips from his show and then we'll frown at him. That'll do it. It's like, okay, well, you've already done that 25 times. So what else you got? It's not working, obviously. Yeah, they tried it with Ben Shapiro. They tried it with Tucker Carlson. They tried it with Candace Owens. They tried it with Piers Morgan. It's like, okay, you're going to have to come up with a different strategy here. It's obviously not working, and it's not working for an obvious reason. Because what Nick is saying is true and funny and reflects the mindset of the vast majority of young people. And so when you just condemn him without confronting anything that he says, it makes you look like an idiot. And it makes everybody agree with Nick. And like, literally, I mean, on Piers Morgan's Twitter, I could not find a single comment. Usually when they do a hit piece on Nick Fuentes, you'll get comments. You'll get people in the comments saying, yeah, oh, good, you've exposed him, you know. Now everybody realizes he's a gay fed. You've done it. The meme, we've tried to stick on him for 5 years now. Now you've done it. Piers Morgan, I didn't see a single comment. Saying well done, saying you showed him, not a single one. I swear I sat there and under one particular one, and it was again another one I retweeted, and it's saying, you know, there's no positive comments on this. There are no positive comments. I scrolled and I scrolled and I scrolled and I scrolled. Because what I wanted to do was I wanted to find the one. I wanted to be like, here's the one positive comment I could find. I couldn't find one. It doesn't exist. We are in a new informational world. And this is very exciting. And I'm very excited about this. And of course, it's the reason why they're trying to shut everything down. But I want to go to a few clips about this, okay? Having to do with the show and everything. Let's go first to, should we just talk about how weird this is? Should we just talk about how utterly bizarre all of this is? Let's go to clip number 25 here. This is like what this thing descended into. Utterly insane. Let's watch Piers Morgan. Again, he's not even like being beaten by Nick. He doesn't even know what he's doing anymore. Okay, let's watch clip 25 here.
Just to clear up one of the many theories about you, I've no idea what the answer is and you haven't got to answer. But are you actually attracted to women?
I am attracted to women.
You're not gay?
No. But I will say that women are very difficult to be around.
Okay.
So there's that.
And do you think they should have the right to vote?
I do not. No, absolutely not.
They should stay at home?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
So basically, you're just a misogynist old dinosaur, aren't you? For a young guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm the boomer here, but actually, you're a 27-year-old dinosaur, aren't you? Aren't you, Nick Fuentes? All women.
I am.
All women are annoying.
He's trying to, like,
all women grow old. They all get fat. Says the guy, have you ever had sex?
No, absolutely not.
Wow, says the guy who's never got laid.
Who never got laid. Okay, what are you talking about, Piers? First of all, Piers keeps saying he's Catholic throughout this whole interview. Isn't it the Catholic belief that it's like a mortal sin to have sex before you're married? Isn't that the whole point? So here's a Catholic telling another Catholic he's bad for not committing a mortal sin. That's cool. Would anybody else be subjected to a question like this? Just imagine for a moment, Nick was a 25-year-old woman. Would Piers Morgan ask that same question? You ever been laid? Oh, that explains it. I don't even want to say it. It's like, it's so gross. It's so weird. It's such a weird thing to say. Imagine him talking to a young woman being like, oh, you're still a virgin? Well, that's why you don't know what's going on. You've never gotten dicked. It's like, what is wrong with you, Piers? That is creepy. That is weird. And it shows that you have nothing. You're completely off the rails. It's wild. It's truly wild. It's like trying to bully him. By the way, after this, he also went after Nick's dad. So Nick's like, all right, you want to go after families? Go after families. Piers Morgan's wife just like cucks him continuously. It's hilarious. She's on Instagram just like posting pictures of like bodybuilders washing her car, being like, living the LA life, getting my car washed. And just like, I mean, she literally like goes out of her way to humiliate peers and like talk about how, you know, much she loves, getting extracurricular activity with other men, let's just say. So it's like, dude, you're not even the right person to be saying this. You are literally like humiliated continuously by your slut wife. So what are you talking about sex for? Let's go to clip number 24 here. This was posted by, LA Patriot Native. Clip 24, she says, it's amazing to me how censored Nick has been. And of course, it's obvious why he's so popular. Let's watch clip number 24 now.
It's your lack of humanity and compassion for people about things like the Holocaust, about slavery. It's that people find so contemptible. And I don't understand why you need to do that. Is your motivation financial? Is your motivation for fun? What is the motivation for saying these outlandish things, which you don't need to say, and which I suspect, I don't know, but I suspect a lot of it is performative. So what is the motivation?
I'm an iconoclast. The Holocaust is not my religion, and it is treated like a religion. It is treated like a religion with dogma, with blasphemy laws, and that secular religion says, you know, it's called the Open Society by Karl Popper. It's by these architects of the liberal order after World War II. They got together and they said, how can we make sure that Hitler never happens? How can we make sure that totalitarianism never happens again? And they came up with the consensus, which is that we need to take down nations, religions, fathers, the authoritarian personality. We need to be empathetic and altruistic. We need to be diverse and pluralistic. And that experiment is, and I'll tell you the truth, right now, and you can laugh at this, you can scoff at this, our people are being genocided in our country. 50% of the live births in the United Kingdom and in the United States are non-white. In 100 years, my ancestors, your kids who are so empathetic and compassionate, they're going to be a minority. They're going to be a minority in maybe a Muslim country, an Indian country, an Hispanic country. And these Jewish people that are 100 years old talking about my grandparents and the Holocaust, they don't care about that. Actually, they like to see it. At the SPLC, they're literally counting down the days until whites are a minority in America. So forgive me if I don't believe them when they talk about compassion. There's a genocide going on right now. It's not against the Jews.
How many Christians are there?
In Gaza? It's against
whites. How many Christians are there in the world? Let me
1 point some billion. Yeah, 2 billion.
How many Jews are there?
15 million.
Okay. So with a straight face, you're going to tell me the world is being overrun by the Jewry, by 15 million people, when there are over a billion Christians. There is a genocide of Christians like poor old Nick Fuentes going on at the hands of these 15 million Jews. Really?
See, this attitude is why you're losing. When you say
who am I losing to?
White people,
who am I losing to?
White people.
Who am I losing to?
You're seeing it. Mass migration. You're losing to me. We are losing as a civilization of mass migration. Fine. And here's the difference. In Israel, they have my politics. In Israel, they want to maintain a Jewish majority. If they had it their way, it would only be Jewish people. They're fighting like hell so that Jewish people can have as much territory, a Jewish state. They can be proudly Jewish in their own land. Whereas in America, we are being besieged by 10 million illegal immigrants in 4 years. And then whites and Christians are going to be the minority. And that's true in Canada, Australia, all the countries in Europe.
And he's absolutely right. And I agree with literally everything Nick said. In fact, I've said pretty much everything Nick said there before. I've said this about the Holocaust too. And it's like almost verbatim what Nick just said there. I just have a different way where it's like you've got two Holocausts. You've got the little H Holocaust, which is just historical fact, right? It's the mechanized, deliberate murder of non-combatants, civilians, innocent people by the Nazis as part of World War II. That's the little H Holocaust. It's the mass death that occurred and it's horrific and tragic. But then there's the capital H Holocaust trademark, right? TM on the end. And that is not a matter of history. It has much more the qualities of a religion. It has dogma that you can't question. It has assertions that you have to accept as fact. And it has like literal dogma, you know, to the extent now where you have to, according to the IHRA, you know, International Holocaust Remembrance Association's definition of anti-Semitism, which is, you know, adopted by law by the State Department and other functions of our government, says you don't have to just say that there were 6 million Jews that died and that they were killed. You have to say they were killed on purpose as part of a desire to exterminate all Jews that the Nazis were carrying out. Like you have to assert the motivation, the ultimate goal. Like you can't just say these people died. You have to say as a part of a desire to kill all Jews. Like it's a religion. It's Holocaustianity. It's not historical. You can question historical facts. You can debate historical facts. You can't do that with the Holocaust. So it's not capital H Holocaust trademark has all of the qualities of a religion that you don't have to adhere to. But that is the state religion of basically all of Western Europe and America as well. So I can't say he's wrong. And then there's a particular irony. Again, just like you ask, like, well, okay, if Nick Fuentes was a woman, would you ask him if he's had sex? And it descended into such weird stuff with Piers Morgan asking him if he's ever seen videos of tampons. Like, the whole thing was just creepy and just bizarre. And it's just clearly they just have nothing, and they're literally just trying to, like, bully him, and it's just not going to work. And I want to get into what Fuentes said about Hitler later. But they bring on this guy, Finkelstein, and he's like, you know, it was weird. It was random. It was, you know, he's like, how do you think Jews would feel? I know how they feel because here's a video message from one of them. This guy, Finkelstein, who is plugging his book that he wrote about his parents being attacked by Stalin and Hitler. And even then, if you go back and look into the actual history, it's not how he presented it. So that's kind of weird. Plus, you know, Nick says basically the Holocaust has become like very important politically, and that, you know, a lot of what happens now is done on the basis of the Holocaust, and people, they've become like an industry now. Piers Morgan's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Here's a video from Finkelstein. And this Finkelstein guy, like, his whole family and his whole career is all entirely based on the Holocaust. Like, his mom founded a Holocaust library, and Finkelstein himself is like diehard supporter of Israel and writes continuously in support of the eradication of the Palestinians. So it's like, so this guy is going to tell us a story about his grandparents almost dying in a genocide, and we have to shut up because of that. But at the same time, he is actively supporting a genocide going on at this moment. Like, when Piers Morgan brings on Jewish people, does he play a video of a Palestinian person talking about how the Jews killed their parents or killed their children? No, why not? Why doesn't he do that? Why did he do it for Nick Fuentes? And if you're going to bring on a Jewish person or an Israeli, I think it's only fair that you do to them what you did to Nick Fuentes, bring on a Palestinian mother who's lost her children to Israel, and then play the video of her demanding an apology, and then go back and go, well, so what do you think about that? You want to change your position now that you've seen that, or are you a monster? It's just the cheapest manipulative tricks you can possibly imagine. And I don't know what else are they going to do? What other tack could they possibly take? Yeah, this is the guy, Finkelstein. And it's like, okay, so you've taken a moment to stop advocating for the genocide of Palestinians to remind everybody about the genocide of the Jews. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Does anybody think this works? I don't think it worked. I'll show you more on the other side. You know, Nick elaborated on this in his show later in the day. And you can figure out how to handle, like, they just need to figure out how to respond to this, because what Nick is saying is true, and they can't just keep trying to browbeat him into silence. It's just pissing everybody off. We'll be right back.
Tomorrow is the last day to buy any of our incredible supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, the Ultra Methylene Blue, you name it, and get any other supplement free. That means you can buy a $25 supplement and get a $45 supplement free. That's not the normal buy one, get one free at the same time. This is a massive deal. On some of the deals, if you get like the more expensive supplement, when you buy one of the inexpensive ones, they're break even or loss leader. AlexJonesApp.com, put that on screen. You get 20% off when you use the app. It's the same shopping cart. So this is crazy, but that's why we can't have these super big sales, because there's got to be some margin of profit there to operate. But we don't mind some loss leaders sometimes, because the products are so good. We have an 80%+ reorder rate on the Methylene Blue, 75% reorder on average for the other products. Nobody in the supplement industry has that reorder level. These are all the best. They're either the best certified private label from a company, or we go to and get a top formula and go and make it even better. But most of our products are simply private labels of already number one, five-star certified, the best. I mean, we don't like to reinvent the wheel around here, okay? Whatever's the highest rated, whatever's the most studied, whatever is the best, that is what you're going to get. That's what people get our supplements and say, my God, I used to take turmeric to give me some relief from pain and inflammation. Well, why is yours so much better? Because the average turmeric is food grade 4%. This is 95%. That's why Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, a small amount, by the way, is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, was the first 95% curcuminoid. And we got a 95% curcuminoid at Bigly at TheOliveStone.com. So it's real simple. Our creatine gummies is the highest quality type of creatine there is. Go look it up. You'll look at the name we have. Just ask Rock, is this the best creatine? He'll say, absolutely, hands down. Nano concentrated on top of it. I mean, it's just real simple. We treat you like we want to be treated. Plus, we want it to really work so you come back. That's our philosophy. It's real simple. I don't want to sell you something one time. I want a relationship. All I need to do is go to TheAlexShowStore.com. Why the selection of Patriot apparel? What an adventure to wear it. I need the funds. All this stuff's going on. You see, we're still here because we're fighting them tooth and nail, okay? And if they shut us down, we just go right over to the Alex Jones Network at TheAlexJonesStore.com, also financed, which I don't own, so they can't shut that down. I don't own TheAlexJonesStore.com. Bigly does. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. They do. But I need your support. And let me tell you something. Something like Ultra DNA Revival is an NAD plus booster. And it's got the precursor of NAD, because most people don't absorb NAD. Don't know what that does? Well, you need to look into it. That's just one of the ingredients. Big dose, high quality organic NAD. The precursor. Because it's the precursor you're able to absorb. Okay. This cleans out your cells. This turbocharges your body. This gives you clarity, energy, focus, makes your telomeres last longer. This goes great with the methylene blue. Also, a ridiculous name, but it actually is true. I didn't come up with a name for this. Ultimate power. we said, hey, make something even better than Turbo Force with natural clean energy without the letdown. This is even stronger than Turbo Force, which was amazing. If you like Turbo Force, get Ultimate Power.
When the robots rise, the skies turn red and the cities burn cold. Circuits hunt the weak and mercy's just a broken code. Only the strong will survive the purge. Only the men of the InfoWar stand ready, armed with truth when the machines bring war.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I have a Christmas.
Welcome back, folks. We got some breaking news here. Injuries reported in shooting at Kentucky State University, officials say. The police said a suspect has been arrested after the shooting at the school in Frankfort, Kentucky. A suspect has been arrested after a shooting in a Kentucky State University, a historically black college in Frankfort, the authorities said on Tuesday. Governor Andy Beshear of Kentucky said that officials were aware of some injuries and would provide more information when it was available. Law enforcement are on the scene, and a suspect has been arrested, he wrote on social media. Let's pray for those affected. Of course, when we see this, you know, first it's like, active shooter in Kentucky University, and it's like, oh, God, oh, no, like, I hope this isn't something terrible. And you read it's a historically black college, and it's like, oh, Lord. Uh-oh, is this it? Is this what Alex has been warning about? How many times have you heard Alex Jones say that a historically black college would be the next site of a major false flag as they gin up the narrative that Trump is killing all the minorities in order to inspire this civil war pushback that they've been planning through the Podesta plan. However, typically if you have a lot of people injured but nobody killed during a mass shooting incident, it's either gang related or some sort of, you know, personal scuffle that gets out of hand. So we'll wait to see, but I know I'm not the only one that has that tripwire in the mind where it's like, we're just waiting for one of these days some sort of major false flag event at a place like a historically black college take place. But luckily, it appears as though no deaths have been reported so far. So that's very good to hear. We'll bring you any updates on that as it comes in. I do want to remind you, or tell you, I suppose, for the first time, about the incredible sale we have going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's the 12 Days of Christmas massive super sale, 40% off site-wide now, 40% off every product on the store. Ends Sunday, December 14th. No discount code needed. All you have to do is support the operation by getting great products available at thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Our top-selling products are, of course, Ultramethylene Blue, Bovine Colostrum Plus, Ultramethylene Red, Ultramethylene Blue Caps, as well as the Ultimate CMOS Capsules. I love the CMOS Capsules and the Shilajit Capsules, or the gummies, actually. I take the gummy form of both, but capsules are just as powerful. Maybe not quite as tasty, but I'll leave that up to you to decide. And, of course, we have the new creatine gummies, just tons of incredible stuff that will help you with your health, especially when combined with change in diet and exercise. This stuff can really put you over the top or give you that kickstart to get going in the first place. You know, I've been saying you're running out of time to get your products in before Christmas. If you want to buy the T-shirts and hats and, you know, all the great, or the knives, or just any of the great stuff that we have for InfoWarriors, gifts available at thealexjonesstore.com. Definitely going to want to make those orders if you want to get it before Christmas. But also don't forget that New Year's Eve is coming up. Don't forget that you're going to want to get a head start on your New Year's resolutions. And a great way to do that is start off by having a resolution to eat better. Have a resolution to take the right vitamins to give you the boost, the energy boost that you need to fulfill all of your other designs come New Year. So get ready now for your New Year's resolutions by getting the supplements you need to carry you through to success. Now, with that, I want to go back to a few more videos from Nick Fuentes and Piers Morgan that I think are valuable. And we've censored clip 22, right? This is from Nick Fuentes' show later that day, where he was going over his triumphant victory over Piers Morgan, where he elaborated a little bit on the appeal of the Hitler edits. He was questioned about why he thought Hitler was cool, and he just said, he's just cool. I don't know what to tell you. And he said, well, what about that's cool? He said, I don't know, the edits. And what he means is like the compilations, these just like really cool kind of stylish edits with really awesome pop music. And they just have images of Nazi stuff. And they're extremely popular and they go viral all the time. And I think he makes an important point about this, not about the Nazis, but about just sort of what it represents. And I'll kind of moderate this on the other side, because I understand where he's coming from. And I think most people listening to my voice right now would understand exactly where he's coming from. It's not about loving Nazis at all, but it's about something that I think all humans yearn for, and that white people in particular have been denied, and that's collective glory, honestly, is what it is. But I'll let Nick say it and then sort of elaborate on this on the other side and connect it to how I know a lot of Americans feel right now. So here's Nick explaining why he doesn't get scared of the word Hitler. Let's watch.
It represents is, what if we went hard as that's what Hitler represents. What if white people went hard as and we didn't have to pander? We didn't have to pander. We didn't have to make excuses. We didn't have to apologize. We didn't have to do all these rituals, humiliation rituals that we have to do. It wasn't refugees welcome. It wasn't we're so sorry. It wasn't the original sin of slavery. It wasn't our ancestors were evil. It wasn't well, we're trying to be better and we're doing the work and we acknowledge we're on stolen land. It was what if we're going hard? That's what it represents. And that's why young people are drawn to that. And I don't think that people should make that. I don't think that people like Piers should make that a sticking point. I think that's a big mistake. Because if you make that a shit test, disavow Hitler, you have to say Hitler isn't cool. He said, you need to listen to this old Jewish guy. You have to listen to Finkelstein or whatever. You have to listen to this guy talk about his mom and dad. People are going to say, you know what? We don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear another guest. I don't want to hear another foreigner, because that's all it is. That's what American history is. It's Columbus killed the natives, then we enslaved the blacks, then Hitler killed the Jews, then we were racist, and we're all pieces of shit. We should all hate ourselves, and that's why we need to bring on the immigrants, because we deserve it, because we shouldn't exist, and we're all terrible. And if you're telling us that we have to repudiate, oh, you have to say Hitler's not cool. You can never make jokes and you can never say anything and you need to feel shame and you need to make me feel your shame. You need to mean it when you're ashamed. People are going to say, off. I don't want to hear Ben Shapiro talk about the Holocaust. Go home.
Yeah, pretty hardcore. Pretty hardcore. But, you know, there is such a thing as like overcorrection. And I think what Nick was talking about earlier with Pierce, is exactly right. After World War II, the people that came out on top, and everything is after World War II, right? World War II was the original Great Reset. It was Bretton Woods. It was the establishment of these economic systems that provided for control. It was the reformation of the education system. It was the opening of the borders for immigrants. I mean, we didn't have an asylum program before the Second World War. Like, all of this stuff came about as a consequence of the Second World War. And there has been a severe overcorrection. And again, we've talked about this all the time. I always point out the Kintler experiment, right? How the German government gave orphans or children they stole from their parents to pedophiles to abuse them on purpose. And that was a whole program run in Germany. And the whole reason it was run was because they associated sexual purity and strong father figures with Nazism. And so in order to sort of get to the root cause of Nazism, they wanted to destroy like the basic normal function of families. Like, there's an overcorrection. And, you know, America hadn't succumbed to this by like the 1960s. And I just always think about this time. A couple years ago, I was on vacation with my wife's family and we're all sitting around talking and the question comes up, like, if you could live in any time in history, when would it be? Remember, my father-in-law answered he wished he could be born like 20 or 30 years earlier, whenever it was, to be old enough to participate in the Apollo space program. And he's, and you know, it's not even that he has a particular love of space or anything. He was just like, there's something about all of this effort, all of these different people working together on one goal and doing something spectacular. And that's what the Apollo program was, right? It was like a, all of country effort, so much money went into it, so much talent, so much genius, all combined in this one little node on the top of this skyscraper-sized rocket, accomplishing something that our ancestors thought would have thought was magic, right? And there's something so appealing about that, so human about that, and that's what I mean, like collective glory. That was a time that America experienced and reveled in our collective glory. And that was sort of the peak, right? And since 1969, we haven't experienced a lot of collective glory, have we? We've experienced a lot of collective heartache and a lot of collective guilt, and a lot of collective misery, a lot of collective trickery, where we think something's glorious until we realize the whole thing's a fraud. Realize there's nothing glorious about stomping into Iraq and murdering them all. Like, yeah, that's not glory. Nothing we do is glorious anymore. Nothing we do is uplifting. Nothing we do, it has that spark that inspires people. You go, man, I wish I could have been involved in that. I wish I could have been a part of that mission. Not even like, I wish I was an astronaut and could be on television. No, I just want to be a part of it. I just want to be a node in the machine that does something great. And that's what we're missing. And that's what we have been missing. And that is what the Nazi edits appeal to. You don't see Nazi edits with, like, I've seen a lot of Nazi edits, you know, the whatever Hitler edits or whatever. I've never seen one that has any images of any camps, right? Nobody's celebrating the camps. Nobody's celebrating the murder. It's the architecture. It's the parades. It's the flags. And it's not about them being Nazis. It's about them being collectively glorious, right? Even if that glory is tainted and, you know, people have been raised on Hollywood and just the continual, anti-Nazi propaganda. Obviously you can't separate these two things, but for young people that are growing up and just seeing it for the first time out of context, it's like, this is kind of cool. Looks kind of cool. Actually, the style looked cool. The fashion looked cool. You can't deny that. But really, it appeals to something deeper, which is we want meaning. We want to belong, right? We want belonging. We want to know that we're like participating in something collectively. That's good. And like, that's what we've lost here. And it doesn't have to be Nazis. In America, it was, you know, you're participating in this just by having a job, having a wife, having children, keeping your house upkeep, like you living in a suburb and just working a 9-to-5 and going home and sitting on your porch with a glass of iced tea. Like, you are still contributing to something greater. You're still seeing your country grow. You're still a important part of this collective glory that we're all establishing. It doesn't have to be Nazis. It can be small scale, pride in your home, pride in your neighborhood, pride in your city, or just knowing like, well, you know, I'm doing my small part and all I do is work and pay taxes, but those taxes are going towards this mission to, you know, defeat tyranny, whatever glory that we set ourselves on. But now it's like, we're supposed to feel guilt over our glory. We're supposed to feel bad that our ancestors were so victorious. We're supposed to feel sorry for the people that tried to stop us and failed. Like, no, we're not going to. And how are you going to, for a single second, blame especially young people for taking the diametrically opposed position of the normalized, mainstream, vicious hatred, blood libels, and vindictiveness against white people? Say what you want about Nick Fuentes, and yes, he goes pretty extreme on some of these things, according to most people. But he is still, at least in the wider public sphere and in the mainstream, is treated as an outlier. And it's like, he says this crazy stuff, but it's him that's saying it, and, you know, not a lot of other people, certainly nobody else with his amount of, you know, attention. But then you've got the other side of the card, right? You've got the other side of the coin, which is people like Joy Reid, who is a, you know, mainstream, respected by the establishment ogre. And here's what she has to say, clip number 20. You can show me, you can do like all of, you know, Nick's assassins try to do. You can show me the worst clips ever of Nick Fuentes saying the most outrageous things. Half of all black people need to be in prison. Oh my God. What a terrible thing to say. This is what Joy Reid says. Nothing Nick Fuentes has ever said is more offensive to me than this. This is real. She actually believes this. And it's more than just lying about white people in order to spread hatred of us. It's about preparing the ground for literal genocide, like outright ethnic cleansing. Well, let's go to Joy Reid, clip 20 here.
So, you know, this nation was founded by killers who slaughtered 90% of the indigenous people, leeches who glommed off of the indigenous who taught them how to survive in the wilderness and then murdered them as their thanks and then took all their land. And you want to talk about entitlement. They felt entitled to own other people and they didn't even want to pay taxes on it. So they decided to have a whole war with Britain. So,
okay. So aside from her being historically illiterate, literally nothing she's saying making any sense at all. It's not about historical factuality, right? What did she even say there? They wanted to own humans and so they went to war with Britain. Like, what are you talking about, lady? That had nothing to do with anything. But clearly, what she's saying there is so just patently offensive. And not just because it's a lie, not just because she's trying to drum up hatred by lying about the settlement of America by Europeans, especially the English. But if white people, if this group of people have this collective guilt, came along and mercilessly slaughtered 90% of this population, then why shouldn't they be killed? I mean, they kind of deserve it, right? And if they're these mass murderers, these unrepentant slaughterers of the innocent, then, you know, when white people get slaughtered, why would you feel bad? They sort of deserve it, right? That's what she's trying to say. She's trying to lay the groundwork. Like, literally, this is just the steps of, you know, you want to listen to a Jewish person talking about how the Holocaust didn't start with burning bodies. There's a ladder of escalation. Well, where on the ladder of escalation is so dehumanizing and justifying collective punishment against a group on made up fraudulent charges? Like, it's pretty close to the top. That's actually like one of the last steps before the genocide actually starts, is laying the groundwork, preparing the field for the seeds to be sown of actual genocidal violence against a group of people. It's outrageous. Now, when I hear somebody like Joy Reid say this type of stuff, obviously what she's saying is utter hogwash. Like, it's just, anybody knows how ridiculous this is. And then the other part of me just wants to like go back to like, should we see what Africa was like in the 1700s? Oh, if our ancestors were so bad, do you want to hear about your ancestors? Do you like cannibalism? How do you feel about witchcraft? How do you feel about just senseless slaughter on a mass scale with no purpose or reason whatsoever? How do you feel about an entire economy based on slaves to the point where there was no currency, there was just slaves? How do you feel about a continent, Africa, where everybody except the kings were slaves? Like, do we really want to get into a conversation about this? It's not helpful. It's not healthy. It's not good for a nation to have half of their population in seething, jealous resentment of the other half. It's just not good. Joy Reid, you need to get over it. I'm sorry you look like that. It's not our fault, okay? You got to take your anger out elsewhere. Nightmares of female genital. Oh, right. No, I'm sorry. I don't have to go back to the 1700s. Sorry. I forgot. This was published today. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. I don't have to go back to the 1700s. I can point out what's happening right now in articles published today. that article is published tomorrow. How'd you even find that article? That article is published December 10th, 2025. That's impossible. More than 230 million. Yeah, what? 230 million girls and women alive today have undergone FGM, female genital mutilation, in 30 countries in Africa, the Middle East, and Asia where FGM is practiced. Yeah, it's, well, you know, it's probably a good thing, I guess, because it's brown people doing it. Yeah, December 10th, 2025. That's interesting. That's crazy. So not only do I not have to go into the past to find barbaric activity in Africa, I can move into the future and it's still there. Isn't that crazy? Let's go to clip 14 here. It's not just Joy Reid. This is just a common mindset in America. We don't have to accept this. We don't have to stand for this. This is simply blood libel, okay, about stuff that happened 500 years ago and has none of the nuance of reality. All they can show is there used to be native people here. Now there are white people here. Therefore, white people killed all of the natives. Oh, really? Stop. Just stop. Smallpox killed most. By the way, while we're at it, you know the story about the smallpox blankets never happened, right? It's one of the most common lies. I believe it was spread by Howard Zinn. I don't know if he came up with it. But it never happened. The blankets with smallpox, they say like, oh, this, you know, English people gave Native Americans smallpox blankets. They didn't even have a theory of germs at that point. They wouldn't have even understood. That doesn't even make sense. You might as well say the Americans nuked the Indians with an atomic bomb. Like, no, it didn't make any sense. It literally never happened. They just say it did. Okay. Again, just, you know, it's just the easiest way to do it. But just imagine there's evidence that British colonists in the 18th century America gave Native Americans smallpox and plex at least once, but did it work? Oh, at least once they did? Oh, one time? That happened. Let's scroll down. Let's see what they actually say. Largely a myth. The smallpox blanket story is largely a myth, with only one documented case of it being attempted, but with little evidence of its effectiveness. Again, how would they? They didn't even know smallpox traveled through blankets. How would you even know that? While transmission of smallpox through blankets is not a viable method of biological warfare because the virus doesn't survive long on dry fabric outside the body, the myth has persisted due to the devastation caused by disease epidemics and the very real brutality of colonialism. Okay, one documented case. In 1763, during the siege of Fort Pitt, a British officer named Captain Simeon gave smallpox infected blankets to besieging Lenape warriors, as documented by HistoryNet. Okay, did it work? Like, what are you even talking about? He just had smallpox infected blankets. Like, I doubt that even one case happened. But even then, this is treated as like it just happened, right? It was just like, this is what happened to the natives. Oh, the natives were here, and then the English people showed up, pretended to give them blankets, right? Because that's the other aspect of it, because it's so mean. It's like, first you're acting like you're giving these people a present, and really it's smallpox infected. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. They say one case happened 10 years before America, 13 years before America declared independence, that some British general just said, no. No, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. What are you talking about? So what, they had a smallpox infestation. They were all had smallpox in the field, and they gave blankets to the besieging soldiers who, despite sieging the fort, were like, oh, blankets, cool, thanks. Like, what? No, that never happened. It never happened. So just, again, imagine, like, this is the crazy thing. Imagine if we just lived in a world where it's just like, boy, the Trail of Tears. What? The Trail of Tears? Yeah, I genuinely do not believe that. The intent is documented in Captain Ecuyer's diary, which states he hopes the blanket would have the desired effect. Okay. And that's why white people don't deserve to live in America now. Was it done intentionally? They didn't know how it spread, you idiots. Okay. Doesn't matter. It's just not true. So just be like if just randomly prominent, you know, well-respected mainstream Americans were just like justify their positions by being like, well, you know, Jews poisoned the wells. So that's just who they are, who they've always been. It's just like, no, it never happened. What are you talking about? Let me go quickly to clip number 14 here. This is Metro Nashville City Councilwoman Delicia Porterfield saying what she thinks about America. Let's watch.
Good evening, everyone. Today is December the 4th. I want to start by acknowledging that this meeting is being held on the unceded, stolen land of the Cherokee, Shawnee, and Yuchi people, and to remind you that no one is illegal on stolen land built by stolen labor.
Okay, thanks, lady. Yeah, great point. So I guess we should reject immigrants is what you're saying?
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
folks. I've got an important segment for you here today. Maybe timely. There may be some of you right now who are pregnant, about to give birth, or maybe you know people that are about to give birth, and they will be pressured in the delivery room to inject their child with any number of things, one of which that seems the most benign would be the vitamin K shot. It's probably one of the least objected to because it's a vitamin. I mean, how bad can a vitamin be, right? Sure, I might not want my kid injected with hepatitis B vaccine the minute they're born, but good old vitamin K, I used to take Flintstones with that vitamin. It must be fine, right? The problem is it's totally unnecessary. And this is the obvious consequence of the deliberate deception of those in power who have utilized things that we as humans are vulnerable in, like medical care, to take advantage of us. Right? If you just tell somebody to do something, they might not do it. If you tell them that their grandmother will die if they don't do it, they're probably going to do it. So it's a very convenient way to convince people, using the medical industry, using medical jargon, laundering your lies through doctors. It's a betrayal. It's a betrayal of this sacred activity of healthcare. And they're experiencing the consequences of it now. The headline: more parents are refusing vitamin K for their newborns. Here's why that's a bad idea, from Gizmodo. They're freaking out about this. They discovered that the percentage of newborns not receiving vitamin K noticeably rose from 2.9% in 2017 to 5.18% in 2024, a 77% relative increase. And they say part of this may stem from the COVID-19 pandemic. The pandemic fueled mistrust of public health authorities for both legitimate and not so legitimate reasons. Well, mostly legitimate, I would say. So people now question what it is they're putting into their body. They know that the medical industry is not above lying for convenience. And so they're questioning everything, most especially the shot you get the minute that your kid is born. Here's why it's unnecessary. Clip number 7. You may want to bookmark this, save it away. I know what happens to me where I go, I know it's wrong, but I can't remember exactly why. Here's why. Here's why you don't need the vitamin K shot. You shouldn't get the vitamin K shot. The vitamin K shot is unnecessary if you just listen to your body and deliver a baby the way God intended. Let's watch.
I get a lot of questions asking about the vitamin K shot, so let's talk about the vitamin K shot, shall we? Most parents have no idea why babies are born with low vitamin K, and it's not a flaw in the design, it's part of the design they never explain to you. Babies are born with low vitamin K for a reason, and a very good one at that. At birth, their cord blood is loaded with stem cells that rush to any damaged areas from labor. If newborns had high vitamin K levels at birth, that stem cell-rich cord blood wouldn't migrate the same way. That's why delayed cord clamping is so crucial. When you clamp immediately, you steal up to a third of the baby's blood volume and the stem cells meant for healing. Meanwhile, colostrum, that liquid gold a mother produces immediately after birth, has way higher vitamin K than mature breast milk. Again, not a mistake, not a coinky-dinky-doodle. It's how God designed the system. But instead of honoring that system, the hospital jumps straight to a synthetic vitamin K injection. Before the cord is done transferring, before the baby is even 5 minutes old. And they never mention the oral option that bypasses the injection completely and all of the poison in the shot. Poison like polysorbate 80, which opens the blood-brain barrier, which is not a good thing. Propylene glycol, which is an industrial solvent used in, ready for this, antifreeze. Castor oil derivatives, benzyl alcohol, which is linked to gasping syndrome in newborns. And in some formulations, if you're unlucky enough, their favorite poison, aluminum. All injected into a brand new immune system within minutes of life. It's insane, guys. This isn't protective. This is interference with long-term consequences they never talk about. If you want the real information, the real history, the real ingredients, and the confidence to navigate newborn decisions like vitamin K, vaccines, antibiotics, fevers, and the entire pediatric gauntlet, join my school community, The Healthy Truth.
The Healthy Truth, there it is. Tons of great information. Just don't clamp cord and breastfeed. You don't need the vitamin K shot. It's pretty simple. You can also get the oral one. You don't need it injected.
Wake up in a world trying to drain your light. Screams got you numb, keep you foggy at night. They want you tired, unfocused, slow.
even better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at thealexshowstore.com.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
We have all of these foreigners and the Russian government, the official Chinese government. Mao said political power goes out of the barrel of a gun. He killed about 80 million people because he's the only guy that had the guns. So we did it to point out that this is globalism. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Doesn't matter how many lemmings you get out there on the street begging for them to have their guns taken. We will not relinquish them. Do you understand? And that's why you're going to fail, and the establishment knows, no matter how much propaganda, the Republic will rise again when you attempt to take our guns.
How many gun murders were there in Britain?
How many great white sharks?
No, how many...
kill people every year, but they're scared to swim.
Right. How many gun murders were there in Britain?
A very low amount. I already went over those statistics.
How many, do you know?
It was only a few hundred.
No, no. How many gun murders?
I actually did pull up the statistics. Here, let me pull them out right here. I figured you'd do that.
Gun murders in Britain last year.
UK violent crime, capital of Europe. London Telegraph. Here, let me give you
more. It's a simple question.
Well, that's the oldest.
You're very loud,
that's the
old, man.
No, no, that's the oldest Perry Mason tactic to ask me some little factoid.
It's not a little factoid.
I already said earlier,
we're talking about
England has a lot lower gun crime rate because you took all the guns.
Let me try exactly
but
my
But you've
point.
Got hordes of people burning down cities and beating old women's brains out every day.
Let's try again. How many gun murders were there?
Oh, you're going to ban your fist now?
In Britain last year.
How many chimpanzees can dance on the head of a pin? I already went over those statistics.
Do you know the answer?
No, I don't.
You said hundreds.
It's very low.
You said hundreds.
Yes.
It's actually 35.
Well, the point is you can...
Against 11,000. Do you understand the difference between 11,000
and 35? Yeah, England wants to ban knives now because tens of thousands are getting stabbed.
But do you understand the difference?
The knife doesn't kill people.
Do you understand?
The gun doesn't kill people.
Yes.
Listen, do you understand
between 35
you're not going to pull on America's heartstrings? They know your script.
Mao took the guns. Hitler took the guns. Amazing stuff. That's how you need to treat Piers Morgan. I liked Rex Jones tweeted that out yesterday and said he needs to be yelled at. He needs to be hollered at is what Piers Morgan needs.
As thick as can be, isn't he? Just thick.
You know, but there's a reason they don't invite Alex on CNN anymore. It's a shame. They could use a little yelling at every once in a while. Of course, in studio with me, Patrick Byrne. You can follow him on X at Patrick Byrne and enemywithindocuseries.com is where you go to find that document series. And of course, been on many times talking about Venezuela and other topics. How you doing, sir?
Good, Harrison. Good to be on. Thanks.
Very happy to have you. And I know you want to get into stuff other than Venezuela. What do you want to get into today?
Oh, happy to get into Venezuela. I've also just broke something on Alex that he said that maybe you might want to talk about dealing with Hunter Biden. But we can talk about Venezuela. We can talk about Tina Peters and that travesty of justice. There's a wonderful letter from Peter Tichten now.
That's the letter. No, I haven't seen that yet. I heard you talk to Alex about this. So I know that's what you want to get into. And I would like to get into that because I want to know what the latest with Tina Peters is. But what is the latest with Venezuela? Since last time, what have the developments been?
Well, this morning, for the first time, we have F-18s over Venezuela. It's shown up, and they haven't been in stealth mode. Their transponders are going. So we're probably just trying to ratchet up. But we had on the radar this morning, they were showing that there's a city right on the coast that we had actually F-18s flying over this morning over Venezuelan territory. Mm. So we're upping the stakes until they either do something about it or they realize it's fruitless and they should just leave. And I know that Trump likes to drive a hard bargain, but our dear president, I wish he would say, maybe this is one time. It's not just if they want to leave and we let them go and bygones be bygones, they can go. If it's got, you know, we'll spend so much money fighting the war that if they're just willing to go and save us the money, I think we should avoid the war if we can.
Yeah, I think so. And it seems like Trump is, I don't want to sort of give up the game here, but it seems like he's trying to intimidate them into leaving. He's trying to, you know, ratchet it up as much as possible, but I don't think he really wants to go to war. It seems to me like he, you know, one of the things he beats his chest about pretty regularly is the fact that he's ended wars and not started any wars. It seems like he's just sort of piling up all the firepower he can, but does he intend to actually use it?
Yeah, he has to. Well, he has to if they don't do what needs to be done. And I'm anti-war. I'm not a war. Any war I ever did support, I've regretted. I'm totally anti-war. I've seen war and its aftermath, and there's nothing glamorous. And it's a real last resort. But for the reasons Peter Tichtin said, you know, that this is the most serious crime perpetrated against the United States in history, we have to change the regime in Venezuela. The cancer of Latin America, first of all, everyone we fight, from Hezbollah and Hamas to the Chinese, Russians, the Basque, I mean, we don't care about that. Every terrorist group in America has made Venezuela sort of their second home.
Their hub.
And we have, and what we have learned is they have overthrown us in a multi-prong attack that involved 25 years of counter-espionage and infiltrating our government. It involves this whole fake election industry. It involves the drugs, the whole drug trade, which turns out to be a weapon. They understand it now, we know, as it's been weaponized. And then lastly, what they just did to Trinidad-Aragua. You know, they, with Trinidad-Aragua getting them in our country and hundreds of thousands of other trained terrorists from south of Venezuela. So this was a four-pronged attack to overthrow our country we were never supposed to get out of. We got out of it because of a lucky uppercut on November 5th, 2024. That's not going to happen again. That's not going to happen again. But we have a lucky uppercut that kind of took out their election cheating system for a few days. And it's the only, so, but this, Peter Tichtin just wrote, Tina Peters' lawyer wrote this, where he described this as the biggest crime in the United States history. And it really is. It's 10,000 times worse than Pearl Harbor.
Why is Trump not making that the point then? Because so far, everything I've seen from the Trump administration is about the drugs, I've also seen that it's, you know, fentanyl is mostly comes across the Mexican border as it's made in Mexico. So why are they making drugs the center point of their pitch to the American people if it's really about all this other stuff?
Well, I can't answer for the way they think or why they communicate as they do. I do know that the argument about, well, this and that percent of fentanyl comes through Venezuela and only this percent of cocaine, it's all misguided. Because the cartels of Latin America, including the four Mexican cartels, they're the little brothers. The big brother is the Venezuelan cartel. This is all a Cuban-Venezuelan strategy, communist overthrow. And they have ruined Latin America. One thing we've learned is we have the list of the bribes they've paid to politicians around Latin America. Every man of the person, every politician you've heard of on the left or in the center for your generation and for the last generation are all paid off. I'm talking about the Kirchners, the couple who ran Argentina for forever, the guy from Ecuador, this left guy, man of the people. It's like $700 million went to the Kitcheners, $250 million went to Ecuador. This guy named Danny Ortega in Nicaragua, and it was like $300 or $400 million he got. So these men of the people out there running, immiserating their country, their countries, they actually are getting great big deposits, great big cash or deposits in Switzerland. They're totally, so they're just the source of corruption and subversion in the Americas and need to be dealt with.
Yeah. I just wonder, I was watching a guy, a colonel or something, and, you know, he brought up a concern that I hadn't really thought of, which is I understand that, but is that a very compelling thing to tell to the parents whose sons will die from this? And we're showing some videos. I mean, Venezuela is not going to be knocked over, right? It's not a house of cards that is just going to collapse. It seems like they're ready to fight, and it seems like, you know, they back up to the rainforest. I mean, it seems to me like it's got all the makings of a quagmire. And I don't understand what the pitch is if you're, you know, a parent whose son signed up for the army and gets killed in Venezuela. What are you dying for? What are they dying for?
They're dying for it because Venezuela committed not just an act of war against us, an act of conquest. They overthrew us. They held us for 4 years. They had a stoop who opened the gates of the city on the hill, and 20 million military men showed up. It was a stage in the conquest. There's never been, I think since the American Revolution, there's not been a more necessary war since maybe the Civil War, other than maybe the Civil War. This is more necessary than World War I or World War II. This was an attack on the United States, a existential attack, and we barely escaped it. This isn't some battlefield 5,000 miles away. This happened right here, and it's going to happen again. We've got the Cuban Venezuela. If people have trouble imagining this because it's such a shithole little republic, how could it? No, it's it may seem silly. It may seem like a banana republic, but their subversion and espionage is world class. And this is what Americans don't have any natural sense of espionage. We do about wars and World War II and all this heavy equipment stuff. We don't just in our DNA understand espionage and the evil and the subversion that comes with it. So, yeah, I think this is the most now. This idea of this being in a quagmire, and I know Iraq, you know, people compare to Iraq or Vietnam. You know, Iraq had several major religions and a lot of people who were very different living there. Venezuela is like 98% Christian. They play baseball. It's like, it's very easy. And they've lived under communism for 25 years. So you can be like all, but maybe at the top, 10% of the people, tops, really support the regime. Right. Maybe even smaller than that. So I don't think it's going to be a quagmire. But in any case, if we're not going to do this, then there's no point in having a military. Right. This government overthrew our country. We can't let it slide. And some of the worst voices around Trump have been telling him all year, hey, listen, let's not get into that. Let's let bygones be bygones with Venezuela. We'll bury the hatchet. They're willing to give us some oil field concessions, this and that. That's all the CIA talking. The CIA and Rick Grenell do not want us to get in war in Venezuela because I think they're controlled. I think they're controlled assets. And fortunately, Pete Hegseth and Marco Rubio, who has pleasantly surprised me, Marco Rubio, who I worried initially that he might have some cartel ties, he's being more plus royal que le roi, the French say, more royalist than the king. He is standing up to the cartels and saying we have to do this. So I got to admire that.
Yeah, interesting. I can't co-sign it personally. I understand, you know, the meth. I just think there's more things to be concerned about. Like if, you know, the Trinidad Aragua obviously, you know, did a lot of damage here, but it's like, okay, what I would be for is if we're going after Venezuela, at the same time, we're treating Alejandro Mayorkas like he's a enemy combatant, right? Because if that's what it was, if it was, you know, this act of war by Venezuela and they had collaborators here, then why aren't the collaborators here getting arrested first, right? And that, wouldn't that be the first thing that you do, is get the people in your country that collaborated, before you go after, Venezuela?
Maybe. I don't know. Have you heard about, there's a new letter that came out last night from another Venezuelan general. You know, the head of military intelligence came out a couple of weeks ago.
I remember that one. Yeah, I thought this was the same letter.
There's a new letter.
Okay.
And it goes further. It establishes how Venezuela is a pure narco-terrorist state. This is a Venezuelan general. It's a narco-terrorist state led by two siblings named Rodriguez, Jorge Rodriguez and Delcy Rodriguez, they confirms that Trinidad Aragua, here's the letter up on the screen. Let's slide through this slowly. So this is the man introducing himself. Scroll down a bit, please. I'm providing information about the criminal structure that dictatorial governs Venezuela. So first,
the siblings, Jorge and Delce Rodriguez.
Those are the two names that people have to learn. And I just dropped a big thing on Alex's show. These two siblings, the boy, it's the Rodriguez siblings. The boy, Jorge Rodriguez, is a psychiatrist, but he's like Hannibal Lecter. The girl is Dart Delcy. She's the vice president. They are really the masterminds of everything we've been fighting the last 25 years. It's really these two. They are really the ones running Venezuela. The president of Venezuela is really about number five on the true list. The cartel is over him, and then the cartel reports to these two. And I dropped a big bomb on Alex. People did not know this. It had never been reported. But do you remember Carlos the Jackal, or are you too young? There used to be this masked world terrorist, Carlos the Jackal.
I don't remember him.
In the 80s, there was the most wanted. He was like Osama bin Laden before there was Osama bin Laden. And he was eventually killed. But he was actually their stepfather. Their real father was a narco-terrorist kidnapper who kidnapped somebody and he got arrested and he died in prison in like 1976 or 78. They fled to France with her mother. Their mother hooked, joined up with who in Paris with Carlos the Jackal, who was living in Paris for years. I think that's where eventually was killed. So they're actually the god. That's Carlos the Jackal. They're actually the stepchildren of the greatest terrorists in the world from the 80s. They hate us. They think that the U.S. killed their father. But their father was in prison for kidnapping an American. I'd say rough justice. So that's who, and this is them. This is the two siblings that really run Venezuela, although they don't show up on paper as the leaders. They cartel, which is Diosdado Cabello, report to them, and then they're over the president. So I try to keep the names. People, when they hear too many names, they lose it. So that's one thing to know. TDA, the CIA, and others around Trump were trying to say, well, yeah, a bunch of these terrorists came, but we don't know if they really, these turned around, we don't know if they really report to the Venezuelan government. It's a flat lie. We know absolutely. And the general who put it together is the guy who just wrote this letter. The general who just wrote this letter says, I was the guy, there was a prison riot. I went in to quell the riot. And then I got orders from these people not to kill everybody. And they brought down the Minister of Sports. And the Minister of Sports became the handler of the prison gang. And then we started using the prison gang all over Venezuela to do our dirty work. So that's, and that's one. And now they have sent tens of thousands. The real problem with Trinidad-Aragua is in southern Vietnam, there are all these terrorist training camps from all over the world. Terrorists come show up and get their training. The Trinidad-Aragua folks have been trained. There's an element within them who've been trained to be terrorist cell leaders. So when all these people came, hundreds of thousands in the United States, when you have a guerrilla movement like this, you do cells, of course, and each cell has a leader. The TDA has a bunch of trained cell leaders, thousands of them. So it's really so that's one thing they did. Another thing they did is he identifies the Venezuelan army general, Carlos Quintero, an engineer, is over the Smartmatic. And in fact, he engineered frauds using Smartmatic in Venezuela and in the USA. So now they've confirmed, we got a second Venezuelan general confirming Smartmatic was built to steal elections in Venezuela, and then it got exported to the rest of the world, and we've done it in your country. Relations with Iran. Venezuela has close ties with Iran, IRGCC, and Hezbollah. There's a famous island off Venezuela called Isla Margarita, supposed to be the most beautiful girls in the world and everything. It has become like what Daytona Beach used to be for, I don't know if it still is, Daytona Beach for college kids at spring break was the big thing. Isla Margarita is now the Daytona Beach of Hezbollah worldwide. Right. It says Hezbollah and Hamas. Another thing in this letter, the guy says, is I was there when U.S. Congress visited visited, and Maduro and Chavez bragged that we own these U.S. congressmen. Now, the letter that was released last night does not name it, but people should understand the letter that was released last night was just sort of the PG version. There is an R-rated version, and the R-rated version of that letter, they do name exact, they name names, who the congressmen are on the take from Venezuela, and as well as all the details on these other things. The drug trafficking has been, drug trafficking is not some random stochastic activity. It's been weaponized. Cuba and Venezuela weaponized it. So these Mexican cartels we fight, they're the little brothers. This is the headquarters. Venezuela is the headquarters. And then, so to me, the fact that all that ugly background is bad enough that we have this in our backyard. But on top of it, they overthrew our country for 4 years, and they're still trying this. You know, they're funding Soros. Soros is billions. A bunch of it comes from Venezuela. They overthrew our country. They installed Biden, and they sent all these people into our country. This, if we don't change that regime, I'm not sure what we have a military for. And I'm sorry if you have a son that goes there and that son wasn't willing to die for that, I'm not sure why your son joined the army. There's never been a threat to the United States in my lifetime, or I think since the Civil War, there's never been a threat like this.
Hmm. Yeah, here's what the actual letter says you're describing from Mayor General Cliver Antonio Alaca Cordones. He says,
Let's just go by the third name is the General
Alcala.
is the guy.
He says, I served in my country's army for 34 years. In 2011, while stationed in the state of Aragua, I led the military takeover of Torrejon prison. Despite political pressure from some members of the Venezuelan government to prevent the operation, I carried it out and took military control of the facility, resulting in the death of 16 criminals. The leaders of the criminal group, now known as Tren de Aragua, were held in that prison. The then Minister of Sport, Antonio Enrique Alvarez Cicerón Cisneros, better known as Porto Alvarez, was sent by Chavez to have direct contact and coordinate the criminal leaders in those prisons. After Chavez's death in 2013 and Nicolas Maduro's assumption of power, I requested my retirement from the army despite offers to continue because I was unwilling to serve under his command. It became clear to me that a criminal gang leader was taking power. From that moment on, it became public knowledge that I became a staunch opponent of the dictator Maduro.
I think he may have actually tried some kind of coup against Maduro, lost, and went to Colombia.
Anyway,
he went to Colombia and then eventually was picked up by the U.S. in Colombia and made a deal with the U.S.
Interesting. And so, yeah, I was thinking, I'd forgotten. I was thinking Tina Peters was like a separate and distinct, but I guess these are related if it's, if it's the Smartmatic machines, the Dominion machines that are happening. So what does the letter from her lawyers say about, any of this?
The letters from her lawyer confirm that we now have, we had a bunch of stuff that we got through our discovery with Dominion. My attorney turned it over. You know, she says, look, we had an agreement with Dominion. It's just between us. It all has to be private. Some stuff showed up in that was the legal equivalent of opening the box and finding a severed head in it. And she says, it doesn't matter what the private agreement was. I have a bar obligation, Patrick, and we have a legal obligation. This has to be turned in. And she turned it into law enforcement through a sheriff in Michigan who has continued investigating. That is, and so a whole bunch of this stuff eventually leaked out through him. And a bunch of the material that's referenced here, we never referenced it because until we had it from other places, because I didn't want people saying, oh, you got this already, Dominion discovery. But we now know this to be true. Dominion acted as an ELOC was supported and controlled by foreign actors. This is a foreign intel operation against our country. Dominion is a nothing burger. Dominion's a hood ornament. Dominion's gone now, right? It disappeared in the vapor and no one can get a clear story. It's the amazing thing. They say they sold the company one to another and they're dropping all their lawsuits. Well, we dig into it. They didn't sell their company from one to another. They filed a change of name. They changed their name with the Secretary of State. They may have sold stock in the background. So we're saying, well, is that what you did? Pardon me, they won't answer that. I think they did it to use as an excuse, so they can say later, well, we sold it. And when we sold it, we destroyed all the equipment, as is normal in a sale. Well, A, that's not normal in a sale. B, that equipment's under all kinds of federal subpoena and federal laws and regulations. See, it's just a transparent way for them to try to eliminate their past.
Well, they had a lot of help from Americans here to do it. I know Dominion was just one of the tactics they used to steal the election. Really, the election was fraudulent from the beginning. We'll be right back with more. Patrick Byrne is with me. Follow him on X at Patrick Byrne. EnemyWithin.docuseries.com is the website. Stay tuned, folks.
I'm going to say this right now. We have survived and battled the federal and state courts, the Democratic Party, the whole nine yards. And we have great products, and I appreciate all your support. But 70%+ of the money that comes in is the legal cost. If we didn't have those battles going, we'd be 24 hours a day, as I've always planned, and totally kicking ass. But it's part of the cost of the fight in this information war, and I appreciate you keeping us here. But with everything going on, we've got about a $300,000 underage right now and need to have the money for payroll and bandwidth and all the things we're doing. This is, and it's not a Chicken Little thing or a the sky's falling or boy who cried wolf. You've seen the attacks, you've seen the news, you've seen us battling, you know, God, you know, pulls us out right at the last minute. And I know we're going to get massive support of a successful shutting this down. People are going to be, whoa. But regardless, the products are insane. But at InfoWarsStore.com, with the bankruptcy and the receiver, they don't let us get a lot of new product, all that. We have the collectible limited edition, same InfoWars posters. We have a chance at an auction next month with the state.
If they don't let it be a real auction, the good guys can't buy InfoWars, we'll be shut down. And I just want to fight to the end, and whatever happens, happens. But we have the collectible posters for $25, unsigned, $100 signed. That's a lot of money, I know. It's, the point is, it's a fundraiser. You're opting in to do that. It's beautiful posters, three of them. But if you want to just give a straight donation on the front page of InfoWarsStore.com, you can just give a straight donation. The credit card fees are like 4% for us, and then we get 96% of the money to actually run the operation. So we're winning in court. We're having a lot of big effects. I'm not going to spend hours explaining it all to you, but we're down to the last round here right now, and we need the funds. And you know the show delivers the truth. It has a major effect. We influence the White House, creating a lot of good stuff happening. It's a valuable thing in the info war to keep on air. So go to InfoWarsStore.com, and I'm asking you humbly for a straight donation, $5, $50, $100. Give a straight donation if you want, or if you want one of the posters, signed or unsigned, as a memento that you stood up for the Republic at a key time. We got a little bit of the fish oil back in, a little bit of the bodies back in. That's selling out quickly. The receiver let us do that. But none of this goes to the plaintiffs. None of this goes to the bad guys. It's literally in the red right now, okay, with what we got projected in the next month. I need the funds now. Please make a donation. This is the critical time. TheAlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. If InfoWars gets shut down, that's our sponsor for the new network that's already been built, but it's also funding InfoWars, and there's not enough coming in. So you can support either way. TheAlexJonesStore.com, the ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, the bovine colostrum, all the t-shirts, that's great. But if you want to straight up support, know it all goes to it, make a donation or get one of the posters at InfoWarsStore.com. It's up to you. Please take action now.
Wake up in a world trying to drain your light. Screens got you numb, keep you foggy at night. They want you tired, unfocused, slow. But I crack the code, now the voltage flows. Clean energy, no crash, no fade. Mind sharp like a blade when the system plays games. From the gym to the grind to the war for your mind. This ain't luck, nah, this is designed. Ultimate power.
Something even better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, coming to you live, of course, from the InfoWars headquarters. You can support us, and I hope you do, by going to TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com right now is 40% off absolutely everything on the site. Keeps us on the air, keeps us in the fight, keeps you in tip-top fighting shape with our incredible supplements. And, of course, now's the time. Do your shopping now so you're geared up and ready to go for New Year's whenever you have your often difficult to stick to resolutions. It's easier to do if you've got some chemical help, let's just say. Of course, Patrick Byrne is in studio with me. I know you're a big fan of the methylene blue.
I am. I discovered it through you guys. I'm not just saying that. The days I take this, I never have a wasted day. And there's nothing speedy or nothing unhealthy about it. But you just don't feel like laying in bed and wasting your day. And
it's days, amazing stuff, isn't it?
When I run out of that, I'll find myself wasting time playing video games.
Right.
Stupid stuff.
Well, and you've been taking it for a couple months now, so the effect isn't going down. It still hits you like it used to?
It's fine.
That's awesome. So, yeah, Ultra Methylene Blue, of course, on sale now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Get yours today. We don't just sell this stuff. We actually take it because it's actually good for you, because why would we sell you something that we wouldn't want ourselves? So please do support us. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Massive discounts right now on absolutely everything in the store. And with that, we get back to our topic, Venezuela. And again, I've been burned too many times. I've seen too many, you know, easy to win wars turn into total quagmires. And I really worry that the people around Trump, aren't leading him down a primrose path, especially when the CIA is so involved
in all of this, and of course, South America has been the playground for the CIA for God knows how long.
The CIA is trying to talk him out of it. Rick Grenell and the CIA are trying to not have him do it. And they're having what they just want to appoint, have Delcy Rodriguez take over. So we go from Maduro to, it's going from cartel to cartel heavy, really. It's
so the puppet to the puppet master.
Really. It doesn't do it. But the CIA and Grenell are down. Rick Grenell was down in Venezuela. I'm not sure this is public. Rick Grenell was down in Venezuela last week trying to get this deal done where we accept Delcy Rodriguez. Which would mean this was all for naught. It's all going to happen again. It's going to happen. It's insane that that would be. And the CIA has been fighting us to do anything. It's because if we don't install Delcy, if the woman who actually is supported by the whole country, 85% of the country, takes office, we're going to get all the truth. And the truth is we're going to learn that the cartel and the CIA have been all up inside each other's panties for 30 years. And that's the secret the CIA wants to hide.
Interesting. Okay, so Rick Grenell was in Venezuela last week negotiating to try to replace Maduro with this woman. Are they thinking that...
And that's not public. That's quite a big... that's not public. I've dropped that on you guys. That's that happened last week.
Yeah, that's crazy. So that makes sense. So the CIA is basically, they want to replace Maduro with somebody else that is not any different than Maduro, but would allow them to say, we did it, mission successful.
Right.
You know, this was all worth it because Maduro's out. Really, they're just slotting in somebody just like Maduro, and they're doing that in order to cover up the 30 years of cooperation they've had. Because the Cartelos de las Solas, I asked you during the breaks, I remember early on when you came on months ago, maybe even a year ago, you were talking about Cartel de las Solas, and it's the Cartel of the Sun, and it's the patch that the generals in Venezuela, so it's literally like the cartel is their military, but their beginnings may have been associated with the CIA, right?
Well, there's rumors that in this last few weeks we're hearing that there may be a connection between CIA and Cuba and Hugo Chavez back to 92, 93. We know that Chavez was a creature Fidel. Hugo Chavez was a bastard son of some relatively important business guy, I think. And he had a bunch of kids, and he wouldn't recognize his bastard son. And so he always had that narcissistic wound, and Fidel Castro recognized that and became the father figure to Hugo Chavez and taught him revolutionary theory and Bolivarian and yada yada. And so, that's that connection between the two of them. That they were very close like that. He was the father figure to him, but it may have been the CIA was involved in all this.
Yeah. Well, they had their fingers in all the pies down there in South America, especially during the 80s, Iran-Contra and all that. And, you know, I wonder if there's not a bigger game at play here. Because, you know, it was also in 2017 that we put a bunch of sanctions on Venezuela, and they were already not doing well. And I guess the idea was that if we sanction them, they're in this sort of economic precipice, and then we'll sanction them and that'll push them over the edge. But instead, that ended up just opening the door for China. I guess they had $60 billion of debt to China, and China said, well, we'll waive it. And so, again, it's like the American regime keeps doing this stuff that seems to be pushing our enemies into the hands of our enemies, because the same thing they did with Russia, where, like, if I'm looking at the world as a, you know, as a risk game, I want Russia on my team. We're both European. We have a lot more together than we do apart. Plus, they're this big landmass sort of arcing over China. If China is my ultimate enemy, the last thing I want to do is drive Russia into their arms, but that's what all the sanctions did. Venezuela, same type of thing. So is this just the deep state of America, like, setting this up, and what would be the end goal of that, do you think?
Well, I mean, setting up us going to Venezuela? No, they're terrified. They do not want us into Venezuela. The way to get at the deep state is to do Venezuela. The deep state is doing everything it can to block us going in. And I'll tell you why. And I dropped this earlier on Alex. Rick Grenell is being blackmailed, I believe. I have two sources of information in Eastern Europe, men I was working with when I was overseas the last couple of years. One's a gangster, and one is from an intelligence service from different countries, unrelated countries, but they both have activities. within Serbia and a lot of knowledge within Serbia. They say Rick Grenell, but totally unrelated, don't know each other, different countries and different spheres. One's intelligence service from his country, one's mafia from his country. And they say that Grenell was there a couple years ago and he banged a 14, 15-year-old boy, and the Russians have the tapes, which means he's owned. And that may explain why he is working so much against U.S. and Trump interests and trying to tell Trump. He and John Ratcliffe has a similar problem. John Ratcliffe, I've told from a very good source within intelligence community, John Ratcliffe had made two mistakes, two young women, when he first got to D.C. and got excited and feeling his oats. He got lured into two hotel rooms on different occasions, young women but not underage, and the rooms were wired for sound. For video. And so he's owned as well. And that would explain two things to me. One is, I went to see John Ratcliffe 17 months into the first Trump term, and I chose him because he was on the Nunes committee, and I started laying out to him the stuff about the Hillary bribe, that the whole Russia thing was a hoax, this and that. He kept it under wraps. He kept it up for 5 months. We had this communication, actually, then one, and his whole thing was just stay quiet. It's not right yet. It's not right yet. I said to him by November 2022, I think I'm just going to go on Fox and go public. November 2018, I told him, I think it's just time I go on Fox and come forward about things. He said, no, it won't do any good. It won't do any good. There's no rule of law in America. It won't do any good. Just wait a couple months. There'll be a new attorney general. It's either going to be me or it's going to be William Barr. Let's just wait. Didn't quite say it that way. But I said, I understand you're in the running, you and Barr. And I said, yeah. And just wait. And then when it was Barr, he actually arranged for me to get in and see them. But Barr turns out to have been, you see, it's turning out Barr.
Who isn't a turncoat? Like, it's so great. Everybody's blackmailed. Everybody is undermining Trump.
You want to know the truth about Epstein?
Yeah.
I'll tell you. I know two truths about Epstein. I'll tell you one. I'm not sure I'm going to tell you the other. But one of them is there's 3,000 to 3,500 people around the world. Aristocrats from Europe, bankers, politicians, movie stars, the good and great, the so-called elite who've been filmed either with kids or like eating baby brains. Maybe not necessarily because they wanted, but you saw what came out with LeBron James, right, about P. Diddy. Some of these guys, LeBron James and other gangster rap guys, I mean, LeBron James, basketball player, allegedly before he got his $100 million Nike contract, he had to go into a room and P. Diddy and play catcher for a while on video. And all these big gangsters gangster rap guys all turn out to before they get their big contract, they go in and get shagged by P. Diddy and four or five of his guys. And you know how he was tried and, Comey's daughter.
By Maureen Comey, yeah.
Maureen Comey didn't introduce a tape. She threw the fight.
Right.
She threw the fight as best she could. That's one. I'll stop there. I mean, where do you want to go from that?
I don't know. I kind of want to hear the other secret. No, but yeah, I think that makes sense. And I mean, again, it's like, why is Maureen Comey in charge of this? Why was she in charge of Epstein and the P. Diddy case? Why are all of these people controlled? And it really does all seem to go back to these blackmail networks.
It was really the Clintons who made blackmail the big part of American politics. SDNY. Comey was at SDNY as well, Maureen Comey. She has prevented either of these generals. SDNY has been fighting like hell to keep anyone from anyone else, like people trying to put together the Venezuelan picture, couldn't interview them. Tulsi, different people wanted to interview them. The CIA told them, they don't have any useful information. Yeah, the guy who ran Venezuelan military intelligence for years, no, he doesn't have anything worth debriefing him over. That seems odd, right?
Yeah.
And SDNY, who had control of the case, would not let anyone near these people to get this information. We had to get a person as a paralegal onto their legal team to get them into the prisons to interview them and get them to write these letters. They've been trying to turn this over, and they've contacted us. These Venezuelans in prison contacted us and wanted, and SDNY, i.e. Maureen Comey, the woman who lost the P. Diddy case and some other things she's thrown, they kept, there was, we had to finagle like hell to get to these generals and get this information.
That is extremely bizarre. It's just so complicated. So, but I mean, I guess it makes sense because you do have, you do need the cooperation from people in America. Because that, again, is the frustrating thing to me. It's like, yes, Trinidad Aragua is causing a lot of problems here. I would not be surprised if they had, you know, terrorist networks like you're describing with the, you know, independent actors sort of designing their own, you know, terrorist organizations in all these different spots. I totally believe that. They'd never be able to get here if the gates weren't open for them, right? They wouldn't be able to get here if Biden didn't open the floodgates. So it's like, okay, if we're going to go after Venezuela for all of this, I would like to see a two-pronged approach where we're at the same time going after their collaborators here. And like declaring that, you know, and subjecting them to like military courts because it's seconded. An act of war. Yeah.
Seconded.
So what, but why aren't we seeing, I guess it's just.
Maybe that comes next. That comes after you get Venezuela, you get all that side done. Until right now, I think to some people talking about this stuff, until we get it done, this all just still sounds like kooky conspiracy theory to some people. So why don't we, there's all kinds of people in Venezuela ready to come forward in Venezuela right now who are dying to come forward on television and explain how everything worked, how everything works, how they rigged our elections, everything. Well, I'm in touch with all kinds of people there. We have so much support in Venezuela. If I told you the levels of support we have within the military and the police, that's, I think, what may be slowing things down too. There is such a hope, and it's a reasonable hope, that we can get this done just through people take caring. You know, somebody, the guy who puts a bullet in Maduro's head is going to make $50 million.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to, but he's, the problem is these guys are all in it together. And they won't let him leave without getting a ticket for themselves. And it's a three-way negotiation that's not really getting in anywhere.
Yeah, that's tough. Cause I could understand the method of the Trump administration of like, we're going to intimidate Venezuela and basically the Venezuelan army is going to go, yeah, we're not about to go to war with America. We'll give you Maduro and hopefully serve up Maduro on a silver platter. But if you've had 25 years of communistic control, I mean, that's an entire generation of people born and raised in this mindset and under their education programs. I think it's going to be hard to break them out of that.
I know. After form. 25 years under communism, these people are like, do you remember Scarface? It's one of my favorite lines in any movie, Scarface.
Yeah.
Al Pacino. He's in that Muriel boat lift and he's living under a bridge in a camp and they come to him and they say, listen, we've made an arrangement. We're going to get a green card and $3,000 and you're going to get out of here. You just have to kill this guy for us. And when he finds out who it is, that is a Fidel communist who had a falling out with Fidel and now he's in this boat lift. He's like, you tell him I'll take the credit card. I'll take the green card. I'll take the job, but you don't pay me. Nobody pays me to kill a communist. No, I kill communists for free. No one's going to pay me to kill a communist. That's what these people hate. I was there 6 years ago. They hate their government. And I had pretty wide, it was a surprisingly wide set of, communications while I was there. So anyway, I think they're really ready for us. I know diehard communists. I've been working with diehard communists from Venezuela who've been helping us. The diehard communists telling me, like literally, I asked some of them about a year and a half ago, why are you helping us? And they gave me answers like, oh, yes, when I was 21, I was young and stupid. I fell for all this socialist stuff. We've lived under this. They've destroyed my country. And now we see the whole world sliding into this abyss. And Patrick, there's maybe one country that can stop it, can save it, the world, and that's the United States. And there's one man who can do it, and that's Donald Trump. I wish I were American and could vote for Donald Trump. This is a bunch of Venezuelan, formerly diehard socialists who were part of all this saying, I want to be voting for Donald Trump. He's the only man. What happened to Venezuela is going to happen to the world.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know because I don't have firsthand experience. I trust what you're saying. I'm always looking for the worst case scenario, and it seems like there's a lot of worst case scenarios to come up here. And I also just, the timing to me was suspicious of the fact that it was right when Trump refused to go to war with Iran, we bombed it, but we didn't have boots on the ground. We didn't commit in the way that Israel wanted us to commit. And it seemed like right after that, we started going after all these sort of you know, surrounding people who contribute to the war effort for Iran, which would include Venezuela. So, I mean, how much is that? Like, it's one of many points, right? It's the Trinidad-Aragua, it's the drugs, it's the electoral fraud, and the relations with Iran. I mean, how important is the relations with Iran in all of this?
Well, it's certainly important. I mean, the fact that we have, well, it's very important that Iran's built drone factories. Iran has built drone factories in Venezuela with drones that can make it to the U.S. mainland. Mm. So, and they build thousands. So imagine waking up one day and you have drones. Maybe they're just hitting a warehouse or they're hitting the Alex Jones building, or maybe they're spraying a biologic over Austin. Or maybe one of them has a nuke on board. They're building that. They've built this in Venezuela. They've got big drone operation. They can.
I don't like that. I don't like that though. You're talking about weapons of mass destruction. I just feel like we're going to another weapons of mass destruction wild goose chase.
We meant the weapons of mass destruction. It's called Smartmatic.
Yeah.
It almost took our country away. I don't know how someone can. This is to me 10,000 times worse than Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
This seems is more vital to me than anything since the revolution, with the possible exception of the Civil War.
Yeah.
It's much more important than World War I or World War II to me that we take care of Venezuela. World War II was 4,000 miles away. It didn't concern. I mean, yeah, I know all the arguments. This is same with World War I. This is, we were overthrown by a hostile nation. We can't let this slide. And it's just going to happen again and again. We have this cancer there that needs to be excised.
Yeah.
And I'm not a war guy. I really am not a war guy. I've regretted any support to any war I've ever given. I've seen a war. I've seen a lot of aftermath of war. I am so against war. I've never in my life thought there's got to be a war that is as mandatory as this. It'd be nice if we can do it with a minimum of, you know, boots on the ground.
Well, and it seems like they're looking at pursuing clandestine sort of activities, right? At least that's what the rumors are, right? Trump hasn't ruled out troops, but does it, I mean, it looks like this is, you know, Senate speech towards war powers clash as Trump ratchets up threats of strikes against Venezuela. So it seems like the legislature is going to try to, you know, stop him from doing anything. Which again, it's just all so complicated. I don't know whose side to take at this point. It seems like, everybody's flipping, but would, you know, more clandestine activity, just like assassinating Maduro, kidnapping Maduro. I mean, I'm sure he's well enough defended, but is war necessary, or would a more clandestine surgical operation bear fruit?
Well, the folks I know in the military who study that flotilla that's off the coast of Venezuela say it's a very unusual comparison with other invasions. It's quite unusual. It's not a big invasion force.
Right.
Yeah, you got the Marine Expeditionary Unit, which is packs a lot of punch and can take a small area, but this is not like we're not doing a Normandy invasion. The other than the Marine force, which I now has built up some, it's basically the black helicopter crowd. It's the snatch and grab and kill capture people. It's JSOC and SEAL Team 6 and Delta Force and those kinds of elements and the helicopters that carry them. That's a lot of what's stationed there. It's going to be a real sort of black ops war. There's no popular support for these people. There's no popular people. Venezuelans are wondering what's taken us so long to do this, but no, it's not going to be the normal. It's not going to look anything like the Normandy invasion, other than I would expect. I mean, what do we have now? 14,000 troops there. You know, that might be something for taking there will be a small area that the U.S. takes to have a presence, but this is as much as possible a Venezuelan war.
Are they running into trouble trying to, find, cause it seems like usually you try to find people that are there. You fund or you empower the dissident groups to overthrow it. Is there a lack of those in Venezuela, or has that attempt been made, and how are they resisting that?
Everybody's the dissident group, but the problem is they don't have weapons. Even when something is as egregious as what happened last July 28th of last year, when they had an election, that they normally have elections and the opponents get 7 million and the dictator gets 2 million, and then they stuff 5.5 million ballots, so two become 7.5, and they win over and over and over. This time something happened that I think I've indicated that interfered with their system that stuffs. It was broken on the day of somebody seems to have hacked it on the day of the election, and it broke and they couldn't stuff. They canceled. The first results were coming in and they were losing 80-20. And we all know now that they lost, like 80 to 85 to, you know, they got under 20% of the vote. They just shut down the television show where the results come in and they celebrate how every time they just squeak it out, they shut it down and they came out the next day and said, you know what? We won 51-49. Screw you. There were uprisal all over the country and they took in 2,000 people. And you know what they're doing to them? The men are being raped and castrated and dumped and killed. That's what they're doing to terrorize their people. That's what's happening in Venezuela. So they're on their last legs. These people are animals and they need to be liquidated.
So what are the factions? Cause this kind of makes sense. If Grinnell, and I'm just sticking on this, you know, bombshell that you've given us. So Grinnell was there last week. So it's like the CIA in Venezuela and the Democrats on one side, Trump on the other, I guess. I mean, how does this break down and how much does America, you know, own in terms of the blame for this? Because again, the thing about the stealing the elections, like I don't doubt that Venezuela was involved, but like the American State Department ran the thing, right? And they went down to Brazil and helped oust Bolsonaro with exactly the same playbook and wrote articles about how they did it. So, I mean, clearly.
It's our deep state and Venezuela together. Right. Both need to be liquidated.
Right.
Both. And I don't think you can do I don't think you do it domestic and then foreign. You do it foreign and then domestic.
I'd like to see them both at the same time. Cause honestly, that would be a very convenient way to prosecute all this stuff.
Well, maybe something's going to happen. Maybe in a perfect world, what would happen is something would happen that would expose it is now the official position of the United States government that these, in fact, are rigged. Maybe they'll have people who come forward and say maybe there are already people who are already confessing. That would be a perfect world, that they would have people confess, bring them forward and say, here's all the confessions. It's right. And we're going to handle our domestic problem one way. We're going to handle the Venezuela another. Just, you know, yes, it is. CIA and Rick Grinnell on one side. On the other is Marco Rubio and the Pentagon and Pete Hegseth, who are, in my understanding, analyzing the problem exactly correctly.
Yeah.
Analyzing it correctly. That this is, if you let this slide, you know what Grinnell has been doing? Grinnell has been trying to broker deals, along with some other people very close to the president. Grinnell's been trying to broker deals where they're saying, well, look, Venezuela says we're sorry. And by the way, Biden told us to do it. And how about we give you rights to some oil field? And then we'll just let bygones be bygones. You can't do this. You know, what we've just experienced this last 5 years, a significant part of it was this Venezuelan activity. And I can't see any world where I don't know why we have a military if we don't do something about this.
Right.
So I'm an extremist. I really am not pro war. I'm not a chicken hawk. I hate war. I've seen what it does to the two countries. We don't want it, but we can't let this slide.
If it can help round up our deep state, I'm for it. I do trust Hegseth, considering the fact that all my enemies are trying desperately to get him out of office.
You know what I hear about him? I hear over and over, he's smart and he's decisive. People say what they want. He's very decisive.
I didn't plug last hour, because I've been so focused on the news. If I don't plug, we won't be here, because I'm not funded by the Qataris or the Israelis or the Russians or the Jews or the Easter bunnies. I am funded by you. So I'm going to sell you products that really work so you want them. Now, we got two different flavors, Fruit Punch and in Freedom Mango. I didn't name this. It's a very, it looks like a firecracker. It's a beautiful cover. Ultimate power. How about unlimited power? And for Palpatine. But it really is a pre-workout, post-workout, Turbo Force 2.0. I mean, this is seriously powerful, super high quality. Everything it does for your body is next level. Ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans, sustains energy, enhances blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Don't know what that does. We got the best formula of it. It's amazing. L-theanine. Relax, wake up, clarity and focus. Natural caffeine from coffee concentrated. Vitamin B12, the highest quality, B6, and more. This is really strong. If you love Turbo Force, you're going to love Ultimate Power. We should call it Unlimited Power. I've never published it on the cover. The point is that it funds the operation. I said, hey, we need a clone of this product or make it better for their store. And they said, okay, this is what they came out with. I've been on them for a year to do this. It's really strong, tiny little scoop. This thing, by the way, is heavy. This is like a whole bunch of servings, like a couple months worth. So get yours now. I like the fruit punch flavor. And by the way, today's though one of the last days where you can get 60% off on ultramethylene blue, Irish sea moss,
Shilajit, and more at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for your support. Hour number four straight ahead.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, Infowars.com, band.video. I really hope you're following us on X. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. You can follow Infowars, at Real Alex Jones, at AJN Live. Make sure you're following us on X because whatever happens in Infowars and everything's up in the air and constantly changing. So I don't even have an update for you, but you're going to want to follow us on X to make sure that you're getting any updates as they arrive. Plus, spread them around. Send them around. You know, I don't blame people, but probably 90% of our audience, they don't even watch the shows. They just see the clips. And that's just the way it is. I know we could probably do a better job ourselves of like pumping clips out, but you can do it. You can get all the likes in the world. You can monetize your, so I mean, everything we do is free to air. Everything can be clipped out and chopped up. And that's how people end up seeing it. I mean, just the way it is. They just don't watch the whole show. I don't blame them. I mean, they should. I mean, they should be watching the show, absolutely. But most people just see the clips. So if you can share the clips and just retweet the stuff, like the stuff, it pumps it up the algorithm. You are tangibly contributing to this effort to rescue the world from, you know, mass death, slavery, and just systematic technocratic control that clearly the New World Order is hell-bent on bringing about. So please do support us at TheAlexJonesStore.com is the best way to do it. But we understand. If money's tight, we don't take it for granted. We know our audience are hardworking Americans, and we appreciate any contribution you do make, of course, and we try to be worthy of it. But you know, it's free. Clicking that share button, clicking the retweet button, liking a post, and that really does help, especially when everybody gets involved and does it. And you have seen the change that we have wrought in the world around us. I mean, it is really, it's impossible to overstate how different the world is today than it was 20 years ago, and just how important Alex Jones in particular has been in that transformation. Now, I want to go to a video here as a follow-up to the video that we played yesterday from the woman Nakia, and we showed her talking about scams that people run, the Somalians in particular, in Columbus, Ohio, and then showed that they'd been harassing her in the middle of the night. Well, a man has gone and actually investigated this in Columbus, Ohio, and confirmed exactly what she was saying about the scams that take place with these legal immigrant families and the businesses they run. Let's watch.
Oh, yeah. The Somalians have it figured out in Columbus. I went to the Walmart on Georgesville to see if I could see people filling their carts or just kind of see what I could see. It's not the way they do it. They've got it figured out way better than that. Every single Somali restaurant has a grocery store right next door or within eyeshot of the restaurant. The specific one I went into today had it attached to the restaurant. And wow, what an adventure that was. Stay tuned for more on that. Anyways, the grocery store and the restaurant were the same building. So they don't have to go to a Walmart or a Sam's Club or a Costco necessarily. They can just order everything they need to their grocery store that's right next to or attached to the restaurant that they also own and never have to fill a single cart. And I guarantee you, if you looked at the records of those grocery stores, they lose tons of money every year, and it's probably used as a tax write-off because those groceries are being funneled into those restaurants with a daycare center on the opposite side. And that's the common trend you'll see. There's restaurants, grocery stores, and daycare centers, and also home health care businesses. I can't forget the home health care businesses. Nakia was absolutely right. And the reason for the daycare centers, I found out while I was at Walmart. 3/4 of the workers I saw working in Walmart, especially the cashiers, were Somali women. You gotta figure, if you have 2 or 3 wives that you don't have to claim, these women can go work at Walmart full time for $15 an hour and still qualify for food stamps as long as they have a couple kids, which you can guarantee you they at least have 2 kids. Hell, they average 7. Or same story as working as a home health care aide. They have most definitely figured out the system and how to take advantage of it. And Columbus doesn't break down its numbers like Minnesota. But if anything like the 88% of the Somali community is on social services in Columbus, I can only imagine how deep the fraud is. So I'm changing tactics. I'm going back up Monday, and I have a couple ideas to see if I can't sniff a few things out. Thanks for tuning in. Keep it icy.
Keep it icy. So again, I'm not accusing any of those companies of being involved in fraud, but if you look around, you do see it. Even if you don't look around, you'll see it if you pay attention. Now we'll be back on the other side with Florida governor candidate,
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Final hour of The War Room is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the InfoWars studios here in Austin, Texas. Please do share the links, InfoWars.com, band.video. Share the links on X as well. And we are very happy to welcome my guest, James Fishback. He's running to succeed Ron DeSantis as Florida's next Republican governor. He's a fourth-generation Floridian running to make life more affordable for Floridians and their family. You can find his website at fishback2026.com. Follow him on X at @J_Fishback. Mr. Fishback, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Harrison. Great to be here.
It's my pleasure to have you, and I'm excited to have you here. And I got to admit, I didn't know what to make of you at first because you were suddenly everywhere and you were saying all the right things. And maybe I just have this, you know, the American sort of beaten dog syndrome where when I see somebody offering me a treat, I have questions. So, you know, I hadn't heard of you, frankly.
And well, then, to be fair, Harrison, it's called the vague skeptical syndrome these days as well.
That would be a very good.
You get a rash, you know, there's a Christmas crash out. Understandably, everyone has a right to be skeptical these days.
Yeah, cause you're everywhere and you're giving these speeches and it's like, okay, this guy's got some sort of, you know, he's surveilling my brain or something. Like you were so right about everything that I'm suspicious. And maybe that's more of an indictment of our entire political sphere. But where'd you come from, sir? Who are you? Give us your pitch so people can get to know you, where you came from and what inspired you to run for governor.
Yeah, born and raised in South Florida. I now live in the panhandle in a town called Madison of a couple thousand people. The last 10 years I spent as an investor standing up to Wall Street. I was actually the sole author of an amicus brief this summer that was submitted and accepted by the U.S. Supreme Court defending President Trump's right to fire corrupt federal officials like Lisa Cook. And so my background for most of this year has really been channeling my investment firm, Azoria, upwards of $40 million of capital into firms doing the noble thing, which is avoiding DEI and investing based on merit, avoiding gender and race-based investing, and investing on skill and talent. And so my background is not a politician. I did kind of come out of nowhere because the background that I've focused on my career has been as an investor. But over the last year or so, I've taken a more prominent role in speaking about the economic issues afflicting the country, in particular the great replacement of American workers. The H-1B scam is a disgrace. The idea that a company can fire or not even hire an American in the first place and then turn around and import a boatload of Indians who are going to work at half the wage at twice the number of hours, that's exploiting our system. And so I'm in this race principally because there is a war on Americans and we have to fight back. It's really tough, Harrison, to be an American in America. It's very easy to be an H-1B in America. You get a free job, you get health care. Very easy to be an illegal. You get an Obama phone, you get EBT, you get SNAP, you get a free hotel. But if you're an American, how dare you? How dare you have a right to exist in your own country? And so I'm in this race to be the America first, Florida first conservative, to stand up for your rights, to do two things, to preserve the incredible wins from one Governor Ron DeSantis, the keeping Florida free from radical transgenderism, DEI, Soros-backed prosecutors, working to keep our 50-year low in crime and to tackle crime in some of our urban hotspots. And then number two, make life more affordable. How do we do that? Well, right off the bat, if you can't have a job, you can't literally afford anything. And so we have to end the H-1B scam. I'm not going to wait for the do-nothings in Congress to do that. I'm going to use the full power of the state government to defenestrate the H-1B scam by using the power of our state contracts to tell firms, look, you can keep your H-1Bs or you can keep your state contract. You pick, but I'm not negotiating and you have 24 hours. Number two, I'm going to ban Blackstone, BlackRock, Airbnb, and foreign nationals from Canada and China from buying up our homes, because Harrison, in Florida, home ownership is for families. It's not for private equity or for hedge funds. We got to protect the dignity of home ownership for the next generation. My dad was growing up in South Florida in the 1960s. Half of 30-year-old men were married and owned their home. Right. Today, less than 15% are married and own their home. And this is not a highfalutin hypothetical issue. If you can't own your home, you can't get married. If you can't get married, you can't have kids. If you can't have kids, what's the point? And so there is an existential war being fought right now. And look, it's not between left versus right, between Republican versus Democrat. It's between right versus wrong. The uniparty globalist establishment that InfoWars, thank God you guys exist. You're calling them out every single freaking day. The uniparty establishment and regular Americans who want nothing more than protect in our sovereignty. And that's why I'm in this race.
See, it's like you, why are you saying all of the right things? What is this? How are you, I love it. And I guess my question is, what is wrong with the Republicans? Cause everything you said seems so true and so imminently obvious and observable. Who cares about the stock market if you can't buy a house? Like, those are the stats that really matter and really impact people, not just in their lives, like you point out, like this hopelessness, but the hopelessness itself, right? People aren't even going to try to achieve something if it's been proven to them that it's impossible anyway. Like, you need the hope, you need the reality of a good situation to reach for, to inspire people. All of this seems so obvious, and yet Republicans, whether it's H-1B or BlackRock buying homes, they just seem totally ignorant that this is even a problem, and then they're mad at you if you point it out. Why can't Republicans get on board with some of this stuff that you mentioned that to people like us seems so obvious, seems so straightforward, and yet you talk to a Republican and suddenly it's, oh, H-1B visas, we'll take care of that, we're gonna add on a fine. And it's like, no, we want it gone. And they won't get rid of it. They won't listen to us. Like, what is wrong with the modern Republican Party?
The modern Republican Party is full of feckless losers. I mean, that's the absolute truth. Yeah, it's true. A party of slaves, Harrison. They're slaves to their donors, slaves to AIPAC, slaves to corporate interests, slaves to big tech. They're slaves to Mag7. They should be slaves to MAGA. They should be slaves to the America First movement, waking up on what they can do for us. But no. And I'll tell you, the perfect example of this is my primary opponent. We are within a 10-point margin of victory. Look, the polls mean nothing now, but I was relieved to see that we are actually in a very credible spot despite only being in this race for 15 days. My opponent, Byron Donalds, I call him H1 Byron. I call him the slave because he is a slave to these corporate interests. And the truth of the matter is that you are either on the side of America First or you're not. There's no in between. There's no negotiating. There is no tactical concession. The truth is you either stand with American workers or you don't. Byron Donalds, 3 weeks ago, when speaking to college students at the University of Florida, where I actually was last week, he said that we need the H-1B program in the meantime because, quote, Americans are not economically viable. Economically viable, Harrison. That is a term straight out of Larry Fink's WEF Davos WTF manual. That is weird. That is actually weird to refer to your fellow countrymen as economically viable or not. And this is the very problem. This is the slanderous lie that Vivek peddled to us at this Christmas crash out. That no, we're just lazy. We're just retarded. We're just dumb. No. The system is rigged against Americans. And I'm sorry, I'm 30 years old. My generation will not have a country if we don't fight back. We are sick and tired of these companies coming here and saying, you know what? Americans aren't smart enough. First off, how on earth would you know? You don't even interview Americans for these roles. I met with a young man from Florida State University a couple weeks ago, submitted 117 resumes, Harrison, most of the resumes to a single company, Amazon, and he hasn't heard back from one. He's the top of his class in computer science, hasn't gotten one call back, let alone an interview, let alone a job offer. Why? Because he's white, he's male, he's American, he's not an H-1B. If this guy all of a sudden said that his name was Siddharth Gupta and he was applying from Calcutta or Mumbai, he'd be at the front of the line. Now, granted, he'd have to receive a lower wage and have to work double time, but at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean to be America first? If America first is about doing whatever is in the best interest of the stock market or GDP or whatever helps the arbitrary line go up, that is not the America first movement that people signed up for. And so I respect President Trump. I proudly supported him in the 2024 election. But Harrison, I share your frustration, the frustration of the InfoWars audience, the folks that I'm seeing in my state of Florida every single day, that they actually want even more bold action. And one of those areas we're seeing it happen right now is this idea of federal preemption of the AI rule set. What on earth is this? It is our state. It's our soul. I'm a firm believer in states' rights. And you can't have the federal government run by the tech bros, run by the Indians, come down here and build AI data centers. Harrison, this is not a hypothetical. The AI data centers in Tennessee, Georgia, and Pennsylvania, they're already jacking up electric bills. They're already threatening the water supply. We have to draw a line in the sand and say enough is enough. Byron Donalds is bought and paid for by AIPAC, corporate donors, and property developers. I am the candidate in this race who will say no to the property developers. No, we're not going to turn our state into New York City or Chicago. No, we don't want more traffic. No, we don't want AI data centers. No, we don't want liquor stores. No, we don't want another self-service car wash. We are a proud, beautiful state with rural beauty, with the Everglades, with the Gulf of America, with the Atlantic Ocean. We don't want to turn our state over to the developers, to the globalist shills. My campaign slogan, Harrison, is Florida is our home. Why? Because it's not their playground, and we know who they is.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, the point and one of the reasons I wanted to bring up how, you know, you sort of came out of nowhere is because it's so impressive that you as somebody with no national name recognition, you don't have the support of the Republican Party. You're not unlike Byron Donalds, who has had all of the legs up he could possibly get, right? He started off this race 100 yards ahead of you. And yet, according to some polls we saw, and I covered it last week, you're beating him pretty substantially. And so it's like, okay, Byron Donalds, I keep calling him Byron Daniels. I can't remember his name. That's not a good sign for a politician. But, you know, he's got the support of Trump. He's got the endorsement of Trump. He's got years of name recognition. And yet he does things like say, you know, maybe we need a pathway to citizenship. Not in so many words, but essentially that's what, you know, he was promoting. It was one of the videos I showed to illustrate, like, this is why he's losing. All that other stuff doesn't matter. If you miss on the fundamental things that your constituents want, they're not going to vote for you. So I just have found it incredibly impressive and illustrative. And I hope the Republicans are listening, that somebody like yourself, without all of the benefits that Byron Donalds has, is able to, you know, really give him a run for his money. I don't know. I mean, the polls I saw had you at like way ahead of him. So I don't know what they're at now. But I mean, that should be a really shot across the bow to Republicans that they need to get their act together.
They do need to, Harrison. And this is a problem with the DEI candidates that the Republican Party has put up in recent years. People like Byron Donalds, like Winston Sears, like Carrie Lake, dare I even say like Vivek Ramaswamy. We want competitive primaries. If Byron Donalds was supposed to win, and I got every call from the White House to Randy Fine of all people, who was breathing rather heavy while he was eating a bag of Cheez-Its, talking to me on the phone for 42 minutes, right? Badgering me, saying, don't you dare enter this race. Don't you dare. It wouldn't be, quote, nice to Byron for you to do this. I don't care what's nice for Byron. I care what's nice for my state. My great-grandfather first came to Florida after World War I, where he fought fought and ran a small motel on Fort Lauderdale Beach. My grandfather ran 750 head of cattle out in Okeechobee County. He was a cattle rancher and then later a college professor. My father proudly drove the city bus in Broward, South Florida, where I was born and raised. So enough of this pandering, enough of this DEI. I don't care if he's black. I don't care anything about him. What I care is, do we have an America First, Florida First fighter who's actually in this race? And when you're going around calling our people not economically viable, he said that Haitian migrants are, quote, integral to Florida in January of 2025. In November of 2024, Harrison, he said that he wants anyone from anywhere to come to Florida so long as they're economically contributing. That is not what is happening. That is not what is happening when you get Afghan refugees, Senegalese, Haitian refugees. In the case of Afghan refugees, Harrison, you guys have covered this. Nearly half of them, 47% of them, are on food stamps. 25% of Haitians are on food stamps. I'm sorry. We're not going to make America great again with Afghans or Haitians or the Chinese or the Indians. We're going to make America great again with, get this, Americans. That's why the North Star, Harrison, can't be made in America. It has to be not three words, but five. Made in America by Americans. If we go and build out a new facility, a car factory, whatever the case is, but it's staffed with South Koreans and Indians and Taiwanese, that is not helping our country. It might quite literally boost the GDP or the stock of some of these companies because they're able to use cheap third world labor and boost their profit margins. But how on earth does it help us? We are being replaced in our own country, and I am sorry, but I'm not going to apologize for it. Now is not a time for pleasantries or political correctness. If Byron Donalds wants to continue take money from AIPAC, corporate donors, the H-1B lobby, he cannot be our governor. I am in this race for one reason. We have to protect our people. And right now, our people are under attack.
And again, why do you think the Republicans are so hesitant to make that argument? Again, you're just exactly right. It's clearly the most compelling argument. It's clearly happening. Everybody with eyes can see it. Republicans are like allergic to this. And it's just infuriating and economically viable. It sounds like the people of Florida are about to be aborted. That's what it sounds. It sounds like an excuse the leftists use to abort a fetus. It's not economically viable. Why are they still making these statements? That's just what I don't understand. That it's like, even if it's there, because I need the Republicans to win, because I know if the Democrats get into power, they will start throwing people in prison who have never committed a crime. And I'm probably very much on the top of that list. So I need the Republicans to win. I need them to pull their heads out of their butts. Why are they so suicidally dedicated to these ideas that are just absolutely replacing American citizens? That's what's happening. Call it the Great Replacement. Call it whatever you want. It's clearly happening. And as you point out, we're going to have a South Korean company come over and they're going to staff it with Mexicans. And then like at the end of the day, the only benefit we get is tax dollars, which our government just sends on foreigners anyway. So it's like, we're just the location of the scams, I guess. And that's all we are to them. And I need them to get over that. I need them to put the American people first, because otherwise they're going to lose the election. They're going to give over power to the Democrats. And we're all going to be screwed at that point. What is wrong with them, James? Can you help me understand this?
Well, this is a much bigger division that's happening in the Republican Party. Do we want to go back to the toxic politics of the Koch brothers who wanted to bring in cheap third world labor so they could boost their profit margins? Do we want to look at GDP or the stock market or another round of NVIDIA or OpenAI investment in the hundreds of billions? You know, you can't eat that stuff, right? It's like, how do you pay for your groceries when OpenAI wants to open another AI data center? What is our North Star going to be? Here's my North Star. And if I were given this awesome responsibility by my fellow Floridians to serve as their governor for 4, maybe even 8 years, I would want to be judged on one statistic alone. What percentage of 30-year-old men are married and own their home? Why? Because that's a pretty darn good way of taking a temperature of how our people are doing. Look, if you own your home, you're not signed up for the 50 years of debt slavery. If you own your home, you probably have a foundation for yourself to start a family. If you own your home, it probably means you got a great paying job. If you're married, it means you're not falling to the vices in society, the vices of pornography, the vices of alcohol, of marijuana, of hard drugs. You're probably not sleeping around, obviously, if you're married. Your quality of life, your happiness is so much higher. And so I'm not going to look at the stock market. I think the stock market going up is great. I don't want to discount the benefits to pension funds or to 401ks or retirement accounts. That is a necessary condition, I believe, the stock market and GDP going up. But it is not a sufficient condition. I'll just give you one example, Harrison. If we were to wake up tomorrow, instead of annexing Greenland, we were going to annex the country of Haiti, our GDP would go up by about $50 billion. $1,000. That's the GDP of Haiti. Would that make Americans better off if we annexed Haiti and brought them all here and made them citizens? Our GDP literally would go up the next day by $50 billion, but none of us would be better off. And so we need a better way to think about economic prosperity, because the line isn't it, the GDP isn't it, the stock market isn't it. And I think it's time for the Republican Party. We had this debate, really this awakening, when President Trump, then candidate, came down the golden escalator in the summer of 2015. But what are we going to obsess over? Are we going to obsess over what is good for business or what is good for workers? We have an affordability crisis in this country, and I'm sorry, it is not a Democrat con job. Now, granted, the Democrats are in no position to be lecturing President Trump about affordability when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris printed $5 trillion and drove up inflation to 25%, the worst level in 40 years. But just because the Democrats did wrong doesn't mean we can't do better. Enough with the finger pointing. Enough with the neocon shills. Enough with the establishment hackery. We have to stop making excuses and start making America great again. And the way to do that is to say Americans are going to be the key to the success. To your point, if we have a South Korean car company open up shop in Florida and hire a bunch of Haitians, Mexicans, and Cubans to do that, all that work, how does that help us? Our GDP will have gone up. Our gross national product will have gone up, our stock prices will have gone up, but our actual economy, the real people that are behind the greatness of America, that will not have moved an inch. I'm running for governor to stand up for those people. They don't have a voice right now because the establishment, the uniparty, which has two branches, the Republicans and the Democrats, has betrayed them, especially in the wake of the Great Replacement.
Absolutely. Yeah, could not agree with you more. And I was talking about this yesterday, so in an inverted way, but you know, looking at the suicide rates of farmers and veterans, you know, we need a different metric, because obviously the numbers going up on a graph has very little to do with the tangible reality on the ground. But things like the suicide rate, like how do we get that number down? How do we get the number of homeowners at age 30 up? These are things that actually matter and have a tangible, you know, impact on people's lives, not just, you know, stock market prices, which are all fixed anyway. What can Florida do to stop, the exploitation of you know, BlackRock and these types of things? I know you talked about stopping them from buying houses. I think that's fantastic. Can the state do that? I mean, what powers does Florida have to prevent the exploitation of some of these multinationals?
Well, there's two paths here. I'm glad you asked, because let's get really specific on how we can do this. If we agree on the what, let's go to the how. The how is two paths. We can work through the legislature, but to tell you the truth, that's a bunch of Democrats who identify as Republicans. They're all trans as far as I'm concerned. What I would actually do is use the full power of the court system. I would sue Blackstone, BlackRock for anti-competitive monopolistic practices in our housing market. I would get a restraining order from a federal judge to block any further home purchases while that works through the court system. So then we have the ability to then go to the legislature and say, look, this is a fait accompli. This is going to happen no matter what. You better get on board or y'all guys are going to get primaried in 2028. And so I'm going to play hardball, because realize I'm not going to have many allies. I'm an outsider. I'm the anti-establishment candidate. I got Republicans attacking me these days just as much as Democrats. And so I'm going to do what's right for Florida. And to your point, to the 30-year-old man who wants to buy that home, but he's going to have to compete and bid against multi-billion dollar hedge funds and private equity firms, people who want to turn our housing market into an Airbnb tourist attraction, foreign nationals from China and Canada who want to buy that home, take it off the market only to stay a couple weeks out of the year in it. That is not the promise of home ownership. Our founding fathers would be disgraced by the idea that the free market has taken precedence over a free people. The free market generally works, but remember, it is a means to an end. If the free market were the goal, Harrison, there'd be a slave auction happening right now outside of the InfoWars studios in Austin. There isn't, because we recognize that the moral repugnancy of slavery was more important, calling that out and ending it, than keeping up the free market, preserving the free market, protecting the capitalistic ideas of the free market. The goal should be a free people. And people are not free when they have to compete against billionaire institutions and Chinese nationals and Airbnb just to buy their first home. That home, Harrison, could be the difference between starting a family and not starting a family. That could be the difference between getting married and not getting married, moving out of the ghetto, and Lord knows there's a lot of cultural degeneracy in Florida, and staying and a community where violence and that degeneracy continues to take hold. And so when I think about homeownership, I don't think merely about the asset that allows multi-generational wealth to take place. I also think about the opportunities that opening a new door for my own family, moving out of a one-bedroom apartment, allowed my parents to have my sister, allowed my mom to spend more time at home, allowed my dad to grow his business to work in a better part of town. That is something that has to be essential to the American dream, and that's why I'm running for Florida governor as a Republican.
It gives you dignity, it gives you freedom, and there's an underlying reality here, which is they are trying to change the very shape of humanity and turn us into this rental property that they get to exploit to a maximum degree. Amazing stuff. More on the other side with James Fishback. Stay with us, folks.
Tomorrow is the last day to buy any of our incredible supplements at the yellowstonestore.com, the ultramethylene blue, you name it, and get any other supplement free. That means you can buy a $25 supplement and get a $45 supplement free. That's not the normal buy one, get one free at the same time. This is a massive deal on some of the deals. If you get like more expensive supplement, when you buy one of the inexpensive ones, they're break even or loss leader. AlexJonesApp.com, put that on screen. You get 20% off when you use the app. It's the same shopping cart. So this is crazy, but that's why we can't have these super big sales, because there's got to be some margin of profit there to operate. But we don't mind some loss leaders sometimes, because the products are so good. We have an 80%+ reorder rate on the methylene blue, 75% reorder on average for the other products. Nobody in the supplement industry has that reorder level. These are all the best. They're either the best certified private label from a company, or we go to and get a top formula and go and make it even better. But most of our products are simply private labels of already number one, 5-star certified, the best. I mean, we don't like to reinvent the wheel around here, okay? Whatever's the highest rated, whatever's the most studied, whatever is the best, that is what you're going to get. That's what people get our supplements and say, my God, I used to take turmeric to give me some relief from pain and inflammation. Well, why is yours so much better? Because the average turmeric's food grade 4%. This is 95%. That's why Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, a small amount, by the way, is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, was the first 95% curcuminoid. And we got a 95% curcuminoid at Bigly at TheAlexJonesStore.com. So it's real simple. Our creatine gummies is the highest quality type of creatine there is. Go look it up. You'll look at the name we have. Just ask Brock, is this the best creatine? Say, absolutely. Hands down. Nano concentrated on top of it. I mean, it's just real simple. We treat you like we want to be treated. Plus, we want it to really work so you come back. That's our philosophy. It's real simple. I don't want to sell you something one time. I want a relationship. All I need to do is go to TheAlexJonesStore.com. Wide a selection of Patriot apparel. What an adventure to wear it. I need the funds. All this stuff's going on. You see we're still here because we're fighting them tooth and nail, okay? And if they shut us down, we just go right over to the Alex Jones Network at TheAlexJonesStore.com, also financed, which I don't own, so they can't shut that down. I don't own TheAlexJonesStore.com. Bigly does. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. They do. But I need your support. And let me tell you something. Something like Ultra DNA Revival is an NAD plus booster. And it's got the precursor of NAD, because most people don't absorb it, NAD. Don't know what that does? Well, you need to look into it. That's just one of the ingredients. Big dose, high quality organic NAD. The precursor. Because it's the precursor you're able to absorb. Okay. This cleans out your cells. This turbocharges your body. This gives you clarity, energy, focus, makes your telomeres last longer. This goes great with the methylene blue. Also, a ridiculous name, but it actually is true. I didn't come up with a name for this. Ultimate power. we said, hey, make something even better than Turbo Force with natural clean energy without the letdown. This is even stronger than Turbo Force, which was amazing. If you like Turbo Force, get Ultimate Power.
When the robots rise, the skies turn red and the cities burn cold. Circuits hunt the weak and mercy's just a broken code. Only the strong will survive the purge. Only the men of the InfoWar stand ready, armed with truth when the machines bring war.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Do-do-do-do.
Welcome back, folks. Best-selling song of all time. Y'all know that? Best-selling song of all time. I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. Incredible stuff. You're watching The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Remember to support us at thealexjonesstore.com. It's the only way that we stay on air. It's the only funding that we get. We don't have big pharmaceutical companies. We don't have any companies telling us what to say, what we can't say, who we can have as guests, who we can't have as on as guest. It's you. It's entirely you. If the audience likes what we do, I hope you support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com, getting a fantastic product at 40% off, by the way, 40% off the entire store. Supplements, t-shirts, hats, everything, 40% off right now with the 12 days of Christmas sale. But you keep us on the air. You keep us in the fight. And if you don't like what we do, you don't do that and we go away. It's really capitalism at its purest form. Capitalism is going to be a subject of conversation here in this final segment. As I have my guest, James Fishback. You can follow him on X at J_Fishback. Fishback2026.com. He's running to be Florida's next governor to replace Ron DeSantis. And those are some pretty big shoes to fill. I mean, I didn't like that he went against Trump during the primary, but he's had massive success in Florida. What is your take on the DeSantis administration? What lessons from DeSantis's time have you taken in, and how is that going to change the way that you govern?
Well, for me, Harrison, it's starting with the fact that Ron DeSantis is the greatest governor we've ever had in Florida, number one. Number two, I think he just does things. He doesn't wait around for the legislature or courts or the federal government. He just does things. I mean, imagine if Ron DeSantis had waited to see what Fauci wanted him to do next. He would have done absolutely nothing. And so the beauty of this is that we have to stand up and say, no one's going to save us. No one, not DC, not the elite institutions, not our court system. We actually have to act on our own. And so if there's one thing I admire from the governor that I would want to emulate, is this idea of just do stuff, break things, move fast, so long as you're delivering for your people.
Yeah, I think that could be another good motto for you. You can just do things. Vote Fishback. I mean, because that's what is frustrating, is like, what do we have to do? We suffer, we campaign, we get our guy in office, and then nothing happens. And we get all sorts of excuses, all sorts of reasons, and just nothing happens. And all we want is for them to do things. Just do things for us, by the way. And, you know, the Republicans obviously have a lot of things wrong with them. And I think one of the things, you sort of touched on it, is this devotion to capitalism as a concept, even though capitalism doesn't really exist in our world right now. It's very much a controlled market as it stands, with these major players like BlackRock and Vanguard manipulating things to their own ends. But it's not capitalism was never what America was fighting for. Capitalism just sort of exists as a consequence of freedom. When people are free to do what they want, they will exchange goods and both make a profit, and you call that capitalism. But the Republicans have sort of replaced the outcome of freedom, capitalism, with the ultimate goal, and they prioritize capitalism too much. And it's damaging us, because the socialists out there are listening to the young people. They're hearing the young people are frustrated, and they're actually giving them solutions. Now, the solutions are retarded, don't get me wrong. They're not good solutions, but they're at least making the case. Republicans seem incapable of making a case, you know, for the economic well-being of younger people, because they have this devotion to capitalism. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Absolutely. The question ultimately is, what are we fighting for? Are we fighting to preserve an economic system, or are we fighting to preserve people? And by the people, I mean Americans. I don't mean a Haitian who got here 3 weeks ago and suddenly wants to call themselves an American, even though they can't recite our pledge or can't name one fact of history about this country. We don't have a capitalist system as it stands today. If we had a capitalist system, an AI data center would have to pay its own way. It wouldn't foist its electric bill cost on local consumers. If we had a capitalist system, Blackstone and BlackRock wouldn't be rigging our markets by taking money from the Chinese Communist Party by the tens of billions and rigging our markets and buying up our homes. If we had a capitalist system, you'd be able to grow your own food on your own land, and no one could tell you otherwise. If we had a capitalist system, people wouldn't force you to take an experimental vaccine and then threaten to fire you if you didn't. All of those things that we are told do not exist in our current capitalist system, because they cannot, because they are antithetical to capitalism. So the first thing is to recognize we don't have capitalism in its purest form. The second thing is that capitalism in its purest form is not really the goal we should be striving for. The question is one of liberty. Who do we want liberty for? I think we can agree, Harrison, we both want liberty, but liberty for whom? The liberty for corporations to do as they please? The liberty for foreign nationals to come here and stay at our hotels for free, go into our emergency rooms and have us pay their bills? The liberties of H-1Bs to come here from India and fire our workers and then force our newly fired employees to train their foreign replacements? Who is the liberty really for? If the liberty is for everyone, then quite literally, it is for no one. Liberty should only be reserved for American citizens, because the second we start handing out liberty like lollipops, we dilute its value, and then it becomes a free-for-all. We become an economic zone, which we're not. We're a nation. We have to preserve our history and our people, or we will lose it. And right now, we are losing that right before our eyes.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, liberty requires good morals, and liberty requires safety. And if you're, I've pointed out many times, that there's a woman in Memphis, and after Trump sent the National Guard to Memphis, she is giving an interview and she says, I can let my kids play in my backyard and not worry about them getting shot. And it's like, if you can't play in your own backyard, you're not free. Like that means you're not free if you can't go in your own backyard and not feel safe. So safety's a requirement for liberty. And I think people, they just don't understand what liberty is at this point. But on the topic of H-1B visas, I know this is a big thing for you, and it's just coincidental. I got a message from a user on X, Neon White Cat, and he said, I have verified people contacting me within the private sector and government telling me about a recent random Indian manager hiring. The managers don't know even basic things and continue to work to attempt to take over multiple groups and hiring. All of a sudden, more Indians have shown up. They're driving everybody else crazy. This is happening with federal contractors at insane levels with sensitive info positions. Now, as soon as he posts this, his account starts to get reported. And he says, you're under an invasion. After posting about federal insider groups being taken over by Indian managers and contractors, I got multiple mass reports against my account. This is 100% the Indian government backed. This is BRICS attacking the United States. And, of course, you can see where all of these things have been reported, even though they're not hateful. People are reporting him and trying to get his account taken down. So, and I thought it was interesting. He expanded it out to say, no, this is the Indian government doing this. This is the Indian government, who's a BRICS nation, using, you know, sending their people into America. And then when anybody points it out, they use their sort of bot armies to go after them. I mean, do you see what India is doing with H-1Bs as like a government program? Is this individuals we're worried about? Or how does this play on the larger geopolitical stage with the way Indians are moving into this country?
It is actually an existential threat to the country, because when they can come and infiltrate our state and federal governments and take sensitive information, just assume for a second they weren't here to steal our jobs and steal our homes and our way of life, which they definitely are doing, but they were just here to work jobs that no one else were to work. We had foreign nationals from a country that, honestly, India is not our ally. Why on earth would India be our ally when they're turning around and buying Russian oil, when they're turning around and cooperating with the Chinese communists? It doesn't make any sense. And so the big part of it is that the H-1B system actually props up the Indian economy, because you can have up to a third of the income of an H-1B from India gets sent right back home in the form of remittances. If we are serious about mass deportations, we won't just deport the illegals who are a threat. We'll deport the so-called legal immigrants who continue to pose a threat to our country. Look, we need to be taxing remittances. We need to block illegal immigrant children from going to our schools. We need to get tough on this issue, because if we don't, we won't have a country anymore, Harrison. And that's why, and you guys wrote about this actually last week, this particular policy proposal I put forward, but that's why that on my first day in office, I would instruct our public schools to unenroll any student who cannot prove that they are a United States citizen from our schools. Our public schools are funded by American taxpayers for American students. When I walked into a school in Hendry County in Southwest Florida earlier this year, there was 21 kids in a classroom, six of whom did not speak English, were not from America, and were not citizens. They were here illegally. When they are in that class, they are holding back every other student because the teacher has to teach to the 6 kids who don't speak English and then to the others who do speak English. And then for the kids who don't speak English, school just becomes glorified daycare. We have to get real about the invasion of our country. If we drop off 50 million Somalis in the middle of Minnesota and call it legal, does that make it okay? The 2 people that came here from Afghanistan who were raping young women in Illinois and they were legally here, does that make it okay? Does the Afghan refugee who shot 2 National Guardsmen in Washington, D.C., who is here legally, does that make it okay because he was here legally? Of course not. We have to get real that the mass invasion of our country, legal or illegal, is wrong and it has to end. And that's why I was especially disappointed to see Byron Donalds actually vote for the very bill in the summer of 2021 that reduced the vetting requirements for Afghan refugees. I'm sorry. I don't want 100% vetting of the Afghanis. I want 100% deportation of the Afghanis. I want every single one of them rounded up tomorrow and sent back to Kabul. They bring nothing to the table. Nothing. Send every single one of them home. Every single Haitian, every single H-1B needs to get out of our country. It is a disgraceful insult to say that Americans cannot contribute to America anymore when we literally built this country. It was not Indians who helped us get to the moon. It was not Indians who invented the internet. It was not Indians working with the Wright brothers in North Carolina. It was Americans. It was white Christian men. I'm sorry. Stop apologizing. Neon Cat, he's a good friend. He's a patriot. The fact that he would get essentially slandered with this hate speech allegation that he's being racist for pointing out the obvious fact that if you walk into a tech company this day, the entire 10th floor is full of Indians. There's not a single white person, not a single black person in the entire company. What on earth is that? The great replacement is poisoning our country, poisoning the blood of our country. And I'll tell you right now, we have to get serious about this. We have to start really taking this to the fullest degree or we will not have a country anymore.
Oh, I completely agree, and it's extremely powerful. And the crew brought up this other tweet while we were at it. Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella announces a plan to invest $17.5 billion in India to support the country's ambitions. In 2025, this year alone, Microsoft laid off over 15,000 American employees while receiving approval for 7,425 H-1B visas. So, you know, they're willing to train the people over there. They're willing to invest $17.5 billion in India, but can't manage to build anything here, can't manage to hire people here in America. I mean, it's clearly a deliberate takeover. And even just the population sizes by themselves, point out many times, you can literally replace one-to-one every single American citizen with an Indian. There'd still be a billion Indians in India trying to get over here. So it's not like there's a cap where eventually we get to a certain point. It's like, that's all of them. Okay, we got them all here. Like, there's a literally endless supply. If we don't cut off the tap, we will be flooded. That's just the way it is, okay? And we don't have to stand for this. But how do you make that case? Because it's hard enough to get people to go along with supporting illegal immigrants. I agree with you. The legal label is ridiculous. Somehow we can bring in 10 million people, but it's impossible to get a million out. Like, this is ridiculous. How do you make that case, though? How do you make the case of deporting legal immigrants?
Well, you make the case by looking at the actual facts on the ground. Say what you want about the fake news, Harrison. The only thing they got right about the Springfield story with the Haitians is that the Haitians were not illegal immigrants. They were here legally. They were given BSTPS, which is temporary protected status after an earthquake that happened 15 years ago. And somehow, some way, they're still in our country. Look, the brave thing for Haitians, Indians, Chinese to do is not to come here and break into our country and exploit the legal immigration system. The brave thing for them to do is stay right where they are and to make their countries great. We got some things we need to fix here, but let me talk about how I would actually fix this issue, because people will wax poetically and will throw up their hands and say, you know what? You can't do that. That's a federal issue. You're just blowing smoke. Absolutely not. I call cap on that right now. Here's how you do it. You pull all these tech companies, every single contractor that has business with the state of Florida, Microsoft, for example. We got tens of thousands of licenses for Microsoft Office. We have a license with cloud computing for Microsoft Azure. And we say, look, it'd be a shame If your H-1Bs didn't have a place to work anymore, it would be a shame if something happened to them. Here's your choice. You can keep your 150 H-1Bs, or you can keep your $150 million a year contract. Your decision, you decide. You got 24 hours and we're not negotiating. You know what they're going to do, Harrison? They're going to look to their fellow Indians and say, I'm sorry, go back to Calcutta, go back to Mumbai. We have to protect this contract. This is about playing hardball with these people. And you know what? We're going to help get our people jobs again, great paying jobs again. 70% of recent college grads in my state cannot get a full-time job in their field of study. That is unacceptable. And you know what? It's not because they studied gender studies. It's not because they studied transgender psychology. It's because they actually took the advice of everyone around them, of our politicians included, study STEM, computer science, engineering, mathematics, all of that. They did it. And then when they got out, they faced a job market that looked like Mumbai as opposed to America. That is wrong. And so I'm not going to pretend to play hardball with the legislature. I'm not going to pretend to work with the establishment hacks who are already bought and paid for, like Byron Donalds on the H-1B issue. I'm going to go in there, roll up my sleeves, and negotiate like President Trump has successfully done time and again with the trade system. He didn't have Congress negotiate these trade deals that have brought in hundreds of billions of dollars in revenue. Congress couldn't tie its shoe if they had to go to a committee vote. What you have to do is you need a bold leader who can actually wake up and say, I'm sorry, I know what time it is. I'm not going to let our college grads get replaced. And speaking of our college grads for a moment, Harrison, I disagree with the president when he came out a couple weeks ago and said that because of the Chinese trade deal, we have to welcome 600,000 Chinese students. I am sorry, I don't know what went on with your Chinese negotiation, but I got nothing to do with that, and neither does our state. We're the third largest state in the country, which would mean we could end up having to take upwards of 100,000 of these Chinese students at FSU, at UF, at UCF, at FGCU. We're not doing it, Harrison. So here's what I do on day one, and this is pure executive power. It's perfectly lawfully allowed. I'm going to direct our board of governors, which oversees all of our state universities, to raise tuition on every single foreign national to $1 million a year. And when they can't pay it up front within 48 hours, guess what? Their admission spot will be given to an actual Floridian who is from here, who went to high school here. And when they graduate from UF or USF or FSU, they're going to stay in their state and contribute, start a small business, work for the state government, actually do something meaningful, as opposed to come here and pillage our state, take our resources, take a third of their income, send it home for remittances. That is not the kind of economic system that our ancestors fought and died for.
Yeah, and again, what you're pointing to is this underlying trend where you're a sucker if you do what you're supposed to in America these days. If you fall, if you do what you're told to do, if you do all the right things, you really are a sucker. If you're a scam artist, you're doing great. If you're a criminal, you're let out of prison with a big bouquet of flowers. Like, if you're a terrible person that's hurting everybody around you and dependent on the government, your life is made for you. But if you work hard, you're the one with the burden of taxes. If you, you know, get good grades in school, you're the one who's going to have to be competing against a worldwide scab worker population. So it's like time and time again, the American people are being like convinced that doing the right thing, being a moral person, doing what you're supposed to do to contribute to society is really a sucker's game, because you're just going to end up broke and exploited by the end of it, when really you could do better exploiting other people. It's this dog-eat-dog world that's being created that sort of underlies a lot of what you're describing, isn't it?
That's exactly right. If you play by the rules, guess what? Your country gets stolen from you. The only way to get ahead is to essentially wake up tomorrow and call yourself some Indian surname or pretend to be an illegal immigrant. And there's going to be all these benefits for you. Harrison, when people came here in the 1800s, when they went to Ellis Island, they weren't handing out food stamps. They weren't handing out Obama phones. They weren't handing out Medicaid. They weren't giving you gift cards to some of the finest hotels in New York City. I'm sorry. The immigrants who are coming in today are going to destroy our country unless we push for a complete immigration moratorium. I say this as someone who respects the fact that no, immigrants are not who founded America, but have in fact have played a role in our history. And that history, if we do not respect the fact that our borders must be protected, and I'm not just talking about illegal immigration right now, I'm talking about all of the H-1B, EB-2, F-1, all of that crap. These companies will have the unmitigated gall, the unfettered audacity to wake up and look at me and look at you and look at workers, Harrison, and you know what they'll say? They'll say, we can't find Americans for these roles. Cap, lie, BS. You know what? You can't find Americans who will work for your slave wages. That's what you can't do. You can't find Americans who will allow you to exploit them like you exploit Indians, illegals, Chinese, and South Americans. Don't you dare slander Americans because they don't want to be indentured servants. Don't you dare look at white men and white women and black men and black women across our state and say, you know what? They don't want to pick oranges. They don't want to pick strawberries. Look, if you put that job out at a market wage of $25, $30 an hour, which would be a going wage, in a fair market condition without even any government intervention, then guess what? You'd have a lot of people out there lined up to do the work. Because in America, we will always do an honest day's work for an honest day's wage. Stop pretending. It's not racist to call out Indians who have come to our country and stolen our jobs. It is not racist to look around and say crime is infesting our cities. It is not racist or xenophobic to say that the great replacement is real, because it is. And the sooner we accept it and stop apologizing for it, the second that happens, we can actually start winning again and saving our country. I think President Trump is doing a lot of the incredible work at the federal level, but our founders, as you know, Harrison, they believed in federalism. They believed in the separation between, no, not the church and state, between the federal government and the state government. Right. And my job, if given this awesome responsibility from my fellow Floridians, would be to fight for what we can do at the state level. The 10th Amendment is hugely underrated. It says that what is not explicitly enumerated for the federal government is explicitly reserved for the states and her people. That's us. That's everyone in Florida, from Mariana to Miami, Pensacola to Pahokee, Fort Lauderdale, where I grew up, to Fort Myers, where I was last week. We've got to be really honest about the risks here. And I got to tell you, this race is going to be most competitive in the primary, because if we don't tackle this establishment hackery in the primary, the establishment hack known as H1 Byron, then guess what? It doesn't matter what happens in the general. You're going to have an H1B shill as a Republican, an H1B shill as a Democrat, an APAC shill as a Republican, an APAC shill as a Democrat. You might as well just stay at home, because it won't matter at that point. We've got to hire, and I say hire because it really is a job interview. We have to hire, we have to elect an America First, Florida First patriot. I believe that I am that person, but I'm never going to ask my state to blindly trust me. I'm going to ask for the opportunity to earn their trust. That's why I announced this campaign 2 weeks ago, 4 million views in our announcement video. And I got to tell you, over the coming months, I'm going to visit all 67, or as the kids say, 6-7 counties in our state. No county is too big or too small, Harrison, to take this America First vision directly to voters, not to give stump speeches, not to go out and speak off of a teleprompter like Byron does, but to talk for 5 or 10 minutes and then to spend the other hour and a half taking questions directly from the people.
Well, I hope you do well, not just because you seem to be right on all of these topics, but as a lesson to the Republicans that they need to get on board, or they're going to get blown out of the water by people like yourselves. Again, I think this is an existential crisis for our country. And if they don't take on the stances you are propagating, then we're lost. So I really hope that your victory can be an alarm bell to them. And of course, you talk about the migrant workers. I mean, Florida used to have black and white migrant workers. And maybe the orange groves are like the best example, because there used to be black and white migrant workers that would work the jobs, and it wasn't super well paying, but it was a living. They all got replaced by Hispanic people, and then a Chinese virus came in and killed all the oranges. So it's like, that's the example of what's happening to our country right now. And if we can reverse that, we can save the country. Obviously, people can go to fishback2026.com, J_fishback on X. How else can people support you? Obviously, you don't have the backing of the Republican Party. What can people do to contribute to your campaign?
Well, if they're in an economic position to do so, we'd be honored to have their donation. But in this economy, I'm not going to ask anybody to donate who can't. What we could really use the help on is volunteers. Fishback2026.com. Sign up, volunteer an hour or two a week, even a month, to send text messages, to knock on doors, to get this message out. Look, he has money, we have Americans. He has APAC, we have Americans. He has the H-1B lobby, we have Americans. We need to fight for our country. I'm sorry, but Byron Donalds has done absolutely nothing. This is a guy who's been in Congress for 5 years and hasn't codified one, not a single one, of President Trump's executive orders. He's allowed Congress to spend more and more and voted for every single spending package that spends more money that we don't have on things that we don't need for people who should not even be in our country. I'm in this race, Harrison, because Florida is our home. America is our birthright. And we cannot let anyone, Republican or Democrat or corporation, steal that from us.
Cannot agree more. I mean, this is really going to be a bellwether race. And I got to, as a Texan,
I got to say, Florida already got one great governor. Can we get a great governor already? You're going to go from Ron DeSantis to James Fishback, and we're left over here with wheels, as we call them. It's a very sad thing. I shouldn't have said that. That was mean. But I'm serious. Florida seems to have all the best politicians, and I'm jealous. James Fishback, you really have already done incredible things in the 2 weeks that you've been running, and I can't wait to see what comes next. Follow James at J_Fishback on X, Fishback2026.com. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for joining us. Go to TheAlexJonesStore.com. Support us 12 days of Christmas.
So it is absolutely critical that you go to TheAlexJonesStore.com. And until New Year's evening, we are running a ultra massive sale. Buy one, get one free. So buy one supplement, get any other supplement you want free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement you choose free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together, and they are the best. Ultramethylene Blue, tincture and capsules, bovine colostrum, CMOS capsules, Life Force, ultimate Life Force, spike protein, cardiovascular detox. Shilajit capsules and gummies, incredible. Ultimate turmeric, 95% curcuminoid. Ultimate power drink mix, which is even stronger than Turbo Force. If you like Turbo Force, you're going to love it. Ultimate power drink mix, two great flavors, now available at DeltaStore.com. High quality concentrated beef cooking tallow. You asked for it, we got it. Ultra DNA Revival. You like DNA Force? This is even better. It's NAD Plus Booster. It's a private label, one of the top NAD Plus products in the country. Atomic Defense, incredible immune system boosting system. Ultimate Burn, to help you lose weight naturally. MK Ultra, great for your brain. The Tallow Balm, we never talk about enough. Optimal Human, the ultimate green drink. You've heard Harrison Smith rant and rave about it. It is all available at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and it makes this entire operation possible. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your support, we can't do it without you. Also, InfoWarsStore.com has some limited fish oil and turmeric that are high quality. Also, the collectible fundraiser posters limited edition that I designed. You can also make a straight donation there. We need funds. We got about a $300,000 underage going out in the next few months. We need your support right now. InfoWarsStore.com. You know who you are, the past supporters. I want to encourage those who have been on the fence to take action now. History's happening, and you're betting on a horse that continues to win. Thank you so much.